The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then boomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. A successful season opener for the New England Patriots, just absolutely manhandling the Tennessee Titans. And that's all you can say when you do what the Patriots did to the Titans on the ground, both sides of the ball. That's manhandling. That's physical football. That's dominance. You know, nothing finesse about that. Stop the run and be able to run. Formula for winning. The Patriots had it, and it was a big win in Tennessee. So we're going to talk all about that today. Paul's here. Andy's here. Eric's off. His rocker? No, he's just off. And Kevin's in the booth. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. So, guys, let's get right into it.
Are you still worried about the offense?
I was just going to say, are all my offensive fears for naught, or do I, you know, is there anything negative, or is it just a completely positive game that the Patriots had?
Well, I mean, there's always little, and we'll leave most of them to John Rook, nitpicks.
But it's week one.
But yeah. Overall, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could not feel good about what you saw, and especially you, who had questions about Brandon Lloyd.
Right.
And, you know, there was obviously the miscommunication slash he let up slash Brady threw a duck, whatever, on the deep ball. They missed it. That just didn't happen, and that could have been a big play early. But to me, the back shoulder fade down the right sideline is what you look for, a quarterback and a wide receiver on the same page. You know, to me, more so than the great catch he made on that dot, that's what we know Brandon Lloyd can do. I feel like every year when you look at those photo contests the league does,
right,
that there's always a Brandon Lloyd one in there somewhere where he's laid out or one-handed or something. He can do that, but that back shoulder fade is the type of things that you say, okay, now that quarterback and that receiver, they're kind of on the same page. So from that standpoint, and then, as you mentioned, you were worried about Stephen Ridley and not having a ground game, and they're always injured, and they're whatever. Well, I mean, yep. as Stephen Ridley put it, I did my job. That's all he could do. That's what you
and
want.
And
from
I would
Ridley.
Add, you know, I was worried about the offensive line, but
that I would still continue.
Well,
to
no,
worry
but
about.
I was. Let me finish. In terms of, you know, run blocking, I think they did great. Now the pass blocking, we'll talk about a little bit, but I think, you know, when you can run block like that, that helps your pass block.
Well, when you can run like that, yeah, they'll be fine. If you run for 162 yards every game,
sure,
and your running back averages 6 yards a carry, all right, we're good.
Especially when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback. You're not going to lose too many games when
you're
running.
Certainly, yes, but I think almost any quarterback can perform pretty well when their running game is doing that.
Yeah, I think that when you have a running game that can be that big a part of it, you know, you can do so many different things on offense. So many different things. And you saw it because you saw Brady, you know, it was a pretty even split. I know the two tight ends were, you know, predictably the most, you know, the biggest receiver, the leading receivers. And then you had Lloyd, you know, Andy's right. You know, beyond one play, there was that one play that you sort of said to yourself, and I know you did, Fred.
Yep.
Oh boy.
There was an event.
That was an event.
There was an event for 85.
That first play was an event. It was just like Ocho Cinco's. Right. It was something.
What was your reaction? What exactly?
You know? My first reaction was, don't stop running. You know, I know you guys think that it was the ball wasn't short; it was over him.
No, I know, but he threw a wobbler and made him twist around.
Well, it was back behind him.
I think that's why Lloyd had to run, stop.
Yeah. He would have missed it by 5 yards because he would have been going to the post, and the ball went to the flat.
Well, whatever. He didn't pick up the ball soon enough, or something. I don't know, but you know, he was wide open.
I think he tried.
Should we ask the same question you asked him about Bill Belichick last week? What would Tom Brady have to do for you to say it was his fault?
Oh, no, I think Brady had, you know.
Nothing.
I think Brady had, I'd give him a B+, but, you know, he had a little rust.
Oh, yeah, he had some terrible throws. Yeah. Ankle top throws. Absolutely. And Paul wrote about one on Take
some
Tuesday.
Gronkowski bailed him out once. Yeah. So, I mean, there was definitely rust on the passing game.
But, you know, when you have rust on your passing game and your quarterback has a 123 rating or whatever it was, I mean.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good Russ now.
Right.
Except, should we wait?
Well, let's wait on that. Defense, Paul. What do you think? Is it obviously, well, it's too early to say.
It's too early
you're
to say.
You're against the Titans, a young quarterback, no Kenny Britt. So the verdict, obviously, is way, way still out there in right field. But pretty positive in terms of individual
the verdict is still way out there in right field.
Yeah, it's not even close.
What
to
the
home.
Hell does that mean?
But I figure it out.
I'm just stunned that he's actually pointing out, like, you know, like Kenny Britt wasn't out there. Like, these are things I don't expect. Have someone done something to Fred? Where are you coming from? Well, your concerns with the offense.
Did you get abducted by an alien and anally probed?
Maybe you're just listening a little better.
maybe you're right.
But
defensively, I think the one thing that we really take out of this is I think we all felt there was a chance that they had more playmakers. And at least in one game, you saw a couple of plays from some of those new playmakers. That has to be exciting as all get up for everybody. I mean, Belichick went up and it went after guys in the first round, and that's like a movie.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they team up on the biggest play of the game in the first game after you trade up in the first round to get two guys. Jones with the strip sack and Hightower picks it up and runs in for a touchdown.
It's actually a video game, Paul, according to Chandler Jones. Somebody tweeted him before the game, and that was in the Madden game. He had a strip sack and Hightower picked it up for a touchdown.
And I do want to continue to congratulate ourselves, Andy and Paul, for accurately predicting a defensive score in the Patriots pregame social, which neither of us has any recollection of whatsoever, but evidently our fans were patting us on the back. I really don't remember suggesting that there would be
probably
a defensive score, in all honesty, but
probably predicted it for the Titans.
You know what my favorite play of the game was?
What?
The forced fumble that wasn't from Jerod Mayo.
Right.
Big fan of that hit.
It was
Big
a nice
fan.
Hit. Nice hit.
Well, it's borderline. The forearm is now illegal. So that was borderline illegal hit. I don't care how I loved it. That's what I want to see from my linebackers. I want to see that type of play. For him to get down the field in position to make that hit and then dislodge the ball. Loved it. Jerod Mayo, I've been very critical. That right there is a play.
Right.
Didn't show up necessarily as much in the stats as it could have with the fumble return, but that's the play I want from Mr. $50 million.
You know, and overall, the pass defense wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
It's better.
Yeah.
Some of their completions, I said early, you know, they gave up, I think it was a third down completion early that Rozai Dowling was there. You know, it just didn't happen. Mayo was trailing a guy across the middle. Well, not even trailing, was sort of in his pocket. Couldn't have much better coverage. Completion, that's a lot better than 3rd and 17 last year, and a guy's wide open by 5 yards for a 20-yard gain. They're building baby steps. As I said, they're not going to go 31st to 1st overnight, but they're top 10 defense right now.
It almost makes you wish that they were playing a better team in week 2, because we're going to play the Cardinals, and I'm assuming they're going to win.
And they better.
Fred's back.
But will it be you know, a good enough test to say, okay.
No, I'll take the game reps. I'll take the game reps, build a little more confidence.
I look at it exactly the opposite of you. I think it's great that they're opening up with a couple of cupcakes and they get, you know, all these guys get out there, they get their experience, they get some confidence. Andy's been talking about the edge on defense, the swagger that they have. This is how you build it. You don't build it by giving up, you know, 38 to the Packers.
In terms of just our edification, in terms of our knowing this is who they are.
We don't need to know in week 2.
I don't care. Well, I don't need to know anything.
But I'm anxious.
I'm anxious. I'd rather have that in December when we know what they are.
Yeah.
I don't need to know in week 2 what they are or aren't.
And by the way, you're probably going to have a formidable opponent in week 3. Is that not early enough for you? You go to Baltimore in week 3.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a big
one. That won't be an easy game.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. You know, the way Flacco looked last night. Now, again, Cincinnati didn't look too good, but Flacco looked real accurate last night. So, you know, we'll see.
The one game determinations. Love it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, not just in our game, but throughout the league.
Right.
Everybody has these declarations of this is how it's going to be.
Jets are
the
best team in football.
Right.
Or the Niners are the best team in football.
Niners. You know. Well, you know, Merrill Hodge told me that the San Francisco 49ers have the best offense in football.
Wow. What?
You heard it.
What's that now?
You heard it.
Best offense in football.
Phil Simms says the Patriots have the best front seven in football. So,
well, he also said they have the best front seven since 2004.
I heard that.
Which I'm not sure I even agree with that at this point. They had a good opener. Let's wait a minute. Let's pump those brakes, as everybody likes to say.
But speaking of that, I think that Wilfork had a monster game. He was so much a part of why Chris Johnson had nowhere to go all game, because
he's pretty good now.
There was just no room in the middle. No. And Chris Johnson, you know, I got to say this, though, about Chris Johnson. I'd be real pissed at him if I was a Titans fan. This guy has no interest in putting his head down and crashing into the line. He tries to, you know, pop every play. He's not Barry Sanders, but he tries to be that, where he's just unwilling to take what's there.
Yeah, he's not Barry Sanders. He's one of the other 4 2,000-yard rushers in
history. Yeah, once. But, you know, let's see what he does for his career.
Yeah, once.
Who's done it twice?
Let's see what he does for his career.
But, Fred, you also need to know your game. That's not what
he is.
That's
his game. He's not a
He's a 4-2-4 guy who's not that big.
Well, I mean, he was just unwilling to just plow ahead. And you can't do that all the time. You can't dance in the backfield every time you get the ball. Sometimes you just have to look for a little daylight and just
I think he does do
there.
That.
I don't know.
Was there daylight there? So you're saying this was a bad Chris Johnson, not a great Patriots performance.
I think, I would disagree with that. I don't think he had a further yard to be gained.
I think there's
game.
A combination. I think, you know, I don't think he, ever since last year, hasn't been the Chris Johnson that people want him to
be. That disappoints me, because I thought it was a great defense.
I did, too.
I think
they took a star and made him look bad. Well, said, we're going to take away, and we just did it.
That's what I thought. Maybe it is a total role reversal, Andy.
I mean, seriously. Now Fred is just saying, no, Johnson just sucked.
My point is that when there was nothing there in the middle, okay, you know, the Patriots outside guys really just stretched it out, and he had nowhere to go, even when he tried to bounce it. You know, so give all the credit in the world to the Patriots.
That's what I'm doing.
That's where I'm.
You can criticize
out.
Chris Johnson.
But I were talking about it the whole game. It was amazing how many times he tried to bounce it.
I think if he had just taken what was in front of him, he would have had more than 4 yards.
He would have had seven.
He wouldn't have a great day, but he would have had a little bit more than 4 yards.
They kicked ass up front. That's all there is to it.
I honestly, and I'm not trying to be over the top on this defense, and like you guys said, it's one game. I'm not lost on that, but I honestly didn't think there was a play that I looked at and said, oh, if he cut there, he would have had not one. Every time he bounced it, he looked like there were 2 carries early that he had those little Barry Sanders-like lateral moves with, you know, the shoulders stay square to the line, but he moves laterally.
Right.
And it looked like, oh, this is one of those, he's a step away, and all of a sudden you saw this green, but then someone had him by the legs. And it was usually one of the ends. It was like Chandler Jones was there. You know, one of the guys, there were no cutback lanes. And that's the big thing with Christian. I didn't think that he, you know, danced and,
I didn't
you know,
either.
Showed a, you know, an unwillingness to stick it up in there. I just don't think there was any way to go.
Patriots had their run fits.
Do you think that the
pad level?
Do you think that the running defense was more better speed or just more discipline?
Everything. I thought, you know, Ninkovich did a good job, and I'll give him credit. You know, week 1 did a good job setting the edge. I thought Jones did a good job setting the edge, but I thought the linebackers were really running to the football well. I thought you were getting multiple guys in pursuit And that's what you need with a Chris Johnson, because if he does that, if he, you know, bangs into Vince Wilfork at the line of scrimmage, then he bounces. Well, that's where he gets some of his runs. But they had bodies like a wave one, wave
right.
two. And that's what we've talked about all summer. The idea that they are now more athletic, faster, more energetic guys up front, and
more shirts around the ball.
Yeah. And it's not that hard. I mean, it's a simple theory. And you see all these teams, and certain coaches have a way to do it. You know, you'll see a guy who always builds those kind of defenses go to a new place, and all of a sudden that team has guys flying. It's like, well, didn't the last guy tell you guys should be flying to the football? It's
right.
But when it works, it's fun to watch.
How was Spike's day?
Well, you know, it's funny. If you're so intent on looking for something, I thought he was, for a game like that, I thought he was awfully quiet. Not that
which is great. Again,
I didn't see anything that he did wrong. I'm not saying that he had a bad game.
Right.
But
right.
I think he had one tackle and just didn't really notice him.
Well, that's two things. One, that tells you how good Wilfork, Love, right. and company were playing up front.
Right.
And they rotated a little bit through there, which I like to see, too.
And my boy Bombo got some run late.
And two is, theoretically, if you're going to have a big day against a running team, Spikes is going to be a big part of it. The fact that he wasn't says, oh, there's even room for them to improve a little bit, maybe him to be even more active. So I don't know how you can nitpick anything the front seven did against the run.
Yeah, and I don't have the sheet in front of me. Maybe Andy does, but the percentage.
You're pointing to it. You can see that I actually do.
But I don't know if you have the percentage of play time on that because
They didn't use it.
My box score didn't have it.
No, they didn't use it. They just printed out a form that says they should have but didn't put the actual information.
I'm wondering if maybe Spikes was down a little bit because in the second half, the Patriots had, you know, the 18-point lead for most
right.
of that second half. Maybe, you know, he's the linebacker that comes out. Maybe they went a lot of sub and he wasn't out there. And that's why he only had one tackle, too. You know, that could be part of it.
Gerard Mayo, Defensive Player of the Year. Woo!
I think he had a great game. Don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm not mocking anything.
Okay.
I just said
he
that
just
I loved
said
the hit.
Play.
The guy had, what, 13 tackles or 12 tackles, whatever
13.
It was.
Yep.
I mean, I love it.
Yep.
Now
I
let's build on it. Now let's not get that knee injury that slows you down, that takes
right.
you out the rest of the season.
I liked the hit, and I liked the two plays that Andy mentioned. I liked the hit and the play that even though the guy caught the ball, he was trailing a guy crossing the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Can't cover any better than he did. Those two plays stood out for me.
Let's go to a quick phone call. Melvin was a Patriot fan who was actually in
at
Tennessee.
The game. Yes.
Hey, Melvin, how you doing?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great.
Not as good
very
as you,
good.
Flirting with those Titans cheerleaders. I hear
I'll
they put the blank. In
Titan. You said what now? What'd you say?
I hear they put the you-know-whats in Titans.
Well, the tweet of the day went to Tom.
The
tweet of the
it.
Day
I
went
it was
to
terrible.
Tom Curran.
Terrible.
He tweeted out, you know, Jag is short for Jaguars. Pat is short for Patriots. What's short for Titans?
Yeah, right. No, that would have been funny. He didn't tweet it the right way.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, Fred, just so you know, everybody got a big laugh out of that. Andy didn't get it.
Oh, okay. It's hard to believe.
Right. Somehow he didn't get it.
So how was the experience? Good time?
Man, it was one of the best. Like I said, I waited 10 years. I've been trying to go to a Patriots game up there, but since my dad's a Cowboys fan, he don't want to go with me anywhere, so... I've asked to sit down here and wait for them to actually come near here. So it was great. I actually saw a real quarterback, which is fantastic. So yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the game. I was pretty happy about it. Like I called last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, and said I'm just glad they made the Titans look like the Titans. They're not that good, you know. Put them in their place. They're not playing the Colts where they played them last year and making them look like the Saints for a second and have them scoring, you know, almost 21 points in a quarter. So I was happy about that.
Patriots fans were there in your estimation? Were there a lot?
22.
It was a lot. I've never been around Patriots fans. Like I said, I'm the only one that's moving around with the Patriots cap on. It was a lot of people there. They were highly intoxicated. They were pure Boston, you know, rude, like I expected.
Oh,
it was great.
Okay, all right.
I was like, this is rude and obnoxious as everybody else was. It was really fun.
Okay.
And for some odd reason, I was behind the business section, and it was a Titan fan right beside me. So I'm pretty sure he didn't enjoy his experience because I was awfully loud. I'm just not getting my voice back today.
Well, he was gone by halftime anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Everybody was asleep by that time. I was taking pictures and looking at cheerleaders. But the only thing I could say was, you know, I was concerned of not really concerned, but what do you think? I don't think that Woodhead's role is going to be. You know, I saw him, and now he's not even on special teams. And according to Andy, you know, when Shane Vereen gets back, he'll probably be working in on a third down back role. And plus, he's really ineffective running the draw play. I can even think about the Super Bowl. And yesterday, he almost looked like Chris Johnson. He just tiptoes and you know, just like you all just said, just doesn't get through the hole.
Well, you saw the difference between he and Ridley, and that's it's a big contrast. I think his role is going to be what it is. He's going to be a change of pace back. Vereen will take reps away from him if he comes back, no doubt about it.
I think his production was cut in half last year from the year before. I think it could be cut in half again. I think he is on his way down.
And I think if Vereen does establish a level of health and consistency, I think he could be squeezed out.
Yep. But
he lost his kick return job. He wasn't out there for that, although.
Right. Even when Demps comes back, it's going to get even worse.
Well, that's not till next year.
Yeah, but, I don't think Woodhead will be on the team.
Jeff
Demps
and
back.
Danny Woodhead will not be on the same team together.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Wow. I was expecting that. I was just concerned. I was wanted to know your opinion about where y'all think Woodhead was going. But check out some more pictures. I think I sent you out some more, so it was pretty nice.
Okay.
That was nice.
Yeah. Well, it was nice.
I'm glad you had a good day, Melvin.
I'm passionate about breasts.
Melvin in Tennessee had a great day. It was absolutely beautiful there, and both teams caught a break because the week before, I guess it was 100 degrees like every day. So both teams caught a break there.
Imagine how much Mankins would have puked if it had been 100.
Yeah. So
I missed that.
Any other thoughts? What?
Him puking.
Well, he was a little under the weather, apparently.
You know, we mentioned that I was pleased with Lloyd. I think, you know, other than that one play, you got to say that, okay, you know, you see what can be with Brandon Lloyd.
On the field. Off the field, I'm still starting to get a little concerned with his next questions. And he's a guy that seems to have an edge for no reason right now. What's he going to be like when he has reason to have an edge? Like when there's a major issue or a story revolving around
him? Well, like Karen Garigian, who... How can you, like,
everyone
have
loves
a
her.
Chip on your shoulder with her?
Everyone.
She talks to him, and, you know, she says, well, you know, Brandon, you know, how'd it go today? And he looks at her and, like, well, we won. It's like, okay.
He has an edge for no reason.
You know,
he comes in as the a-hole, as the aggressor. It's that old thing we used to joke about the Poston brothers. What you mean, how am I doing? What's that supposed to mean?
Right.
Like, that's how he treats the media. That's how, except sometimes he doesn't.
Right.
I'm all in on this whole, bipolar thing, hot and cold.
Yeah, I think that's just who he is, and let's just hope that it doesn't affect his play on the field.
But who he is a guy who's bounced from team to team.
No, I know, but now he's going
to
win, and now he's got a quarterback.
We have a three-year deal here.
But now he's got a quarterback who truly is the leader of the team.
Right, and he's being an a-hole already.
Well, no, he's not really. Is he?
I think when he turned his back on Eric, that's being
an
a-hole.
Okay, that was the one instance.
And imagine how bad
we're barely through week one, and he
imagine
already
how bad it must
one.
Have been
well,
for
no,
Andy to say he turned his back on
season.
Eric.
I've wanted to turn my back on Eric a million times, but I'm just not flat out a rude a-hole.
Actually,
I am a rude a-hole, and I've never done it. That means he's worse than a rude a-hole.
It was Eric, so let's you know.
But you just said it was another example with Karen.
Yeah, I did see that.
You know, like why?
Yeah. But if he had done it to
Tom Curran, I would have said, well, Curran probably deserved it. He can be an a-hole.
But
Karen, I've never thought once she could be an a-hole.
But if that's the extent of it,
if that's the extent of it, I'm not worried about it.
I'm not totally worried about it because, as you say, I don't think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will let it become an issue.
Right.
But as you also have said previously, we don't have any net at receiver. So if there is any issue with Lloyd well, now who's playing? Say you wanted to bench him. Can you bench him?
But
whatever.
Saying that if nothing happens, I won't be worried. I won't be. If there's no incidents, I won't be worried either.
If what we've seen so far is what's going to happen,
then that's what
fine.
I'm saying.
Right. No problem.
No problem.
My question is, what happens when it gets ugly? What happens when there's a normal person would have an incident? What's his incident going to be like?
Right. And I would say, you know, if he's already sort of confrontational, what happens if he goes 3 weeks with two catches?
Right.
And then he starts getting asked about his role in the offense. Like Wes Welker was asked, you know, about his role in the offense because he was a little bit smaller part on Sunday. Well, Wes is a professional. And it was not, he didn't turn his back on anybody. He didn't have any edge to his answers. And he was talking about, you know, winning the football game. Now, if Brandon Lloyd talks about winning football games consistently, all the way through his three-year deal, there won't be any issues.
Right.
You're right. I mean, if there are no issues, there won't be any issues. But he has a reputation for being difficult.
And we've already seen him
and we've seen
be difficult.
Signs
what,
of
what
why.
Happens if the bomb came in the fourth quarter and they lose? You know, that would, you know, they
That's
lose
what
by
I'm talking
three
about.
And they would have won.
It's a good point.
Now,
it's
how does he treat
point.
That?
Like I used to say about Randy Moss, you know, he came in and everybody's like, this guy's great. Well, yeah, he caught 23 touchdowns and went undefeated in his first season. Let's see what happens when he gets accused of dogging it. And oh, by the way, 2 years later, he's accused of dogging it. And less than 3 months after that, they traded him because they saw signs they didn't like. They wanted to nip it in the bud.
Is this a Paul is right one? Are we supposed to be saying Paul's right right now?
No. I think everybody was right. No, I'm saying
what happens when he gets a bad buffet?
Sometimes the reputation of a guy is deserved.
Is earned.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Especially when it's a reputation that's borne out over 6, 8, 10 years.
It's definitely something we need to keep an eye on. There's no doubt.
Let's put Eric on that. We'll have him monitor it.
But there'll
be two guys now that Eric will never talk to: Bill Belichick and Brandon Lloyd.
But
we'll have two guys
in terms
now.
Of what he did on the field. It's encouraging.
Yes.
It's something to build on. You mentioned Welker. A lot of people are talking about, you know, what his role is, what it might be this season. I mean, are you worried about that at all, really?
No.
You know, what did he have, five catches?
Four catches?
I thought it was three.
Three for 14?
Three targeted five times, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Dropped one.
And that was a drop. There's
Paul,
no
I could probably just look at the stats that are in front of me instead of guessing.
He got hit in the face with the first. First
three for 14.
Yeah.
His lowest yards as a Patriot other than the game in which he tore his ACL.
And it was a laser. He should have caught it, no doubt about it. But that was a bullet.
Yeah. See, I don't put any of that on the quarterback. That was routine catch.
I'm not taking Wes off the hook for that one, like the Super Bowl.
Right.
This one hit him
right
in the
face. I may apologize for the receivers on other ones, like the Lloyd one.
Yeah.
That was 100% Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would wonder about, and I think this was probably more circumstantial and game plan related, was his snaps went way down. He normally is a 90-plus percent guy, and he was down in the 60s in this game. But to me, that was about how well you ran the ball and how often you had you know, in the second half especially, you had the big lead. I don't care about how many times he's targeted because I only care about moving the ball. I've told you that a million times. The 125 catches, that's great. It's like the Shania, don't impress me much. I don't care.
He just quoted Shania Twain.
I don't care
don't
how many catches. I only care
that
about,
was awesome.
I only care about how the offense moves and produces. And this offense has consistently done that with him as a part of it. So unless that changes, then – yeah, I have no reason to be concerned.
I thought it was a good game call by Josh McDaniels. I mean, obviously, when things are working, it's all good. But I think that he recognized what they were doing on the ground, and he stuck with it. Mm-hmm. You know, even when he put Woodhead in, they still ran the ball. You know, and so I think that. What's that?
Just not well.
I mean, what's Woodhead's numbers?
6 for 20.
6 for 20. Okay,
that's not well.
You know,
3.3 is not well.
No.
It's okay. He did all right.
It's not okay. That's worse than last year.
It is better than Bolden, though. 5 for 11.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, that's...
I cut Bolden a little slack. They were basically just slamming in the middle of the line to end the game.
Just to kill the clock. But
Woodhead's, I thought, was some draws that they're looking to get, you know, 10-yard gains on.
Talk to me.
They're getting 3.3.
I was talking about cutting Woodhead a long time ago. Unlike Fred, I thought he was terrible last year.
I did, too. What I liked about, at least we learned, we talked about the whole notion of how defenses would react. They're going to line up to try to run the ball at times. How does the defense react? Well, clearly the defense said, we don't think you're going to run. We think you're going to pass. And it was nice to see the offensive line, at least in that regard, dominate. When they took advantage of probably some light fronts and ran it ridiculously. 6 yards a carry.
And this goes
That's a healthy average for a guy who carried the ball 21 times.
He didn't have a big run. He had a lot of nice chunk runs, but didn't have a 60-yard run to overinflate an average.
But and this goes back to what we were talking about last week and the week before about maybe a little bit change of philosophy, trying to keep defenses in their base if possible. This type of game will make the teams think about that, and you're going to have to respect the run.
And as Eric wrote on his, what does he call it, film review?
After
further review that he's now doing on Mondays on the website, which I'll tell people to go read it. I thought he did a nice job with it. I think it's interesting. You're going to see less personnel, and it's one of the complaints I've had over this team for years. I mean, going back, 4 or 5 years, that everything was very much personnel package dictated and you could kind of predict what was coming. I think you're seeing them go more towards, we're going to have the same 5 or 6 skill athletes on the field a lot and run a lot of different things out of that. And part of that, I think, will come with the running backs as they evolve and do more. Part of it is Hernandez can be a tight end, can be an H-back, can be a wide receiver, and I think that makes him harder to defend. I think that's the idea. Yeah. Now, the one big thing you have to do there is stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
Because
I mean, we saw Hernandez tweak something, came out a little bit.
I wonder if that is back to what we talked about all summer, where he had that lower foot, ankle, whatever, that he kept having to get taped. He would miss time every practice. Bill would yell at him.
Right.
Maybe that's just that ongoing issue there.
Did he do much after that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you recall?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the exact timing.
I remember the play in which he tweaked it.
Over, yeah. Right over the middle.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phones. They're starting to stack up here. Jerry is in California. Hey, Jerry.
Oh, good morning. I actually have two questions I'd like you guys to chime in on.
Okay, when I was 14 and only on Thursdays.
You still there?
Yep. Yes. We're still here.
Just going off on your own or whatever.
That was the proper answer to that. Don't worry. That was the proper response. You're a tremendous caller. Now you can get to your 2 points.
Okay. Reference to Titans. Bill Belichick is known for taking away the strength of the other team. And obviously against the Titans, we held them to 20 yards, so he definitely took away their strength. Now, does that mean that we loaded up to stop the run and that affected our pass defense and made it very weak? Or does it simply mean that this year we have a very good run defense and the same poor pass defense?
No, I think the stats show that the Patriots were still in their sub defense more often than their base. So, no, they did it by just being, you know, every guy doing their job. And I don't think they did anything special to load up, like you said, against the run.
And the run defense has been better than the pass defense for years
now.
Oh,
yeah.
Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, that core group has always been better of late than the pass defense, and that's always been the strength, and it works well against a team like Tennessee with a first-time starting quarterback who doesn't have his best receiver. It plays out. You're right in wondering, well, what will happen against the Ravens if we say we're going to stop Ray Rice? And you may stop Ray Rice, but will Joe Flacco be able to take advantage of matchups down the field better than Locker?
Right.
Yeah, I did notice on their run defense, everybody seemed to stay in their lanes. When he broke outside to get around somebody, there was somebody standing there waiting for him.
Yeah, and like Andy said, there was just waves of guys.
Yep.
You know, when he bounced to another lane or hole, there was another wave of players.
It was everybody.
Yeah.
It was outside in and inside out, corners, safeties, linebackers, and certainly
the
front.
It was they've learned a lot in training camp. There's no doubt. These young guys like Wilson, and they've done well.
Okay, question number two is more of a technical rule question. We
is that
see
a woo-hoo
well,
question?
A technical rule.
A rule.
Question. Rule. The 12 men on the field penalty. You see it all the time, and you see the 12th guy trying to run off the field, and he doesn't make it, and there's a penalty call. So my question is, exactly where is he running to? If we were down on the goal line and he had to get off the field, he could either run through the back of the end zone or run over to the sideline at the 1 yard line or whatever.
It's a good question. There's a marked off area that's considered the bench area, and he has to walk. He has to run into that area.
35 to 35.
I think
maybe?
So. Something like that.
Right around there. He
could probably get away with it if you got out at like the 20 or 25, but you can't run out the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
And you certainly couldn't run out the sideline. You know, even with the goal line, they wouldn't let you do that. But if you were close enough to like the 30, they'd probably let you get away with that. And you have to go to your side.
Right.
You also have to go to your side.
I thought they were just running back there to be near the cheerleaders or something like that.
Well, that's where Andy would be running.
It's a benefit of it. But.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Those are the two questions. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Jerry.
That's my favorite call of all time.
You're still there after Fred's joke.
They made a slight alteration to that rule this year, by the way, on defense. If the snap is imminent and you have 12 on the field, they blow it dead, and it's too many men on the field.
How do you know the snap is imminent?
You know, if they're at the line of scrimmage and like they break the defense breaks the huddle and all of a sudden they realize there's 12 or whatever, it's like the offense can't break the huddle with 12.
Right. Defense can't break the huddle with 12?
If the offense is at the line.
Oh, at the line.
Yeah, that's why they say there's something about if the snap is imminent.
Yeah, see, I don't care for that. What if a team goes no huddle and they're using all of the clock? How do you know when the snap is imminent? Unless it gets down to one, and then you know that the snap has to come or they're going to have to delay a game.
I don't like
gray rules, and that's another gray rule.
Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
We're just basking in the glow of
when
the
I was
Patriots
14
victory.
And every other Thursday.
Well, they're you know, it was pretty good. I mean, I don't want to get too excited, but...
Why?
Because,
get excited, damn it! You're going to the Super Bowl!
That's right, well, yeah, but it's like the fifth preseason game. And it's terrible, I'm sorry.
That's true.
And I listen.
And we got the never-important sixth preseason game next week against an even worse team.
I just think that... You should be excited.
I actually thought Tennessee had some things to be excited about. If I was, you know, they're not ready. The locker's not ready yet, but I would be excited for him.
Oh, I would be too.
If I was a Titans
fan. Right up until he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that was unfortunate.
And Fred, you should have seen, I loved the tackle. I loved that he tried to drive him down. And then I'm like, and that's what you get when you try to be an a-hole. That's why you don't do that.
Right. Yeah, just get out of the way. Exactly.
Well, his own teammate fell on him.
No, I know, but had he just made the tackle and
wouldn't
not,
it happen to Brady?
He tried to like pick him up and like drive him into the ground, and in that, then he got hit and he gets hurt, and yeah, that's why you're just supposed to kind of trip
Brady
him
would have been on the bench.
Yeah, Brady would have been fixing his nose job,
and that's where I want him. I don't want him making tackles.
Quick question on the defense, Hightower. Were you guys surprised to see him in there on third down a little bit more than I thought he would be?
No, because Hightower? Bill has been saying, and he said it after the game that. You know, he puts a lot on him coming from that Alabama defense and the fact that that was sophisticated and that he feels he's a real smart player, so he's just going to be out there.
And that's what he did at Alabama. He became a sub-rusher in those situations. So, yeah, I think we kind of expected that. Now, sometimes you expect that and it doesn't work. He's not as ahead or he's not as ready as you expected, but I think you've seen with the top two picks and probably the top three picks, they are performing like you'd hope top picks do, that are ready to play right away.
Yeah, that you can basically put them in there, plug them in, and they're ready to go.
And it's a good thing since we had two starters as first round. I mean, if those guys weren't ready, this team would look totally different.
Oh, totally different.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, that probably the thing that I was most impressed with, was, I would say Ridley. I don't think he's going to do that. You know, I don't think he's going to be like a 1,300, 1,400-yard
back. If he does that every game, he's going to have 2,000 yards.
Well, I was going to say, what's the pace of 125 a game?
Yeah, I mean, but he certainly – I got to say, I haven't been that excited for a guy that like – I get excited when he gets to that second level. Like, I think he's going to – you know, he has the potential to break one. And, you know, I haven't been that excited to see that probably since – Maybe Marone, maybe. I don't know.
And you mentioned second level. I was watching the game last night with the Bengals, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was running the ball. And my son was like, you know, why'd they get rid of him? He looks pretty good. I go, you see that play right there? And I think Ellis got like 5 or 6 yards. Ridley would have had 10 or 12.
It's I thought that the two games were the perfect illustration of what Andy and I have been talking about all summer, all offseason, really.
Right.
How they might not necessarily run it more often, but they'll be more dynamic.
Yep.
And those plays, when they're blocked well, Benny got 8 yards last night. And Benny had a good game last night.
He did.
He played really well, I thought, against a tough defense. He had some short yardage plays where no fooling anybody. We're coming right at you. I'm going to hand the ball right to this guy, and you know it's coming. And he got it, you know?
Yep.
But Ridley had those runs, I thought, on Sunday and got 17 instead of 6.
And
that, to me, is the difference.
It makes sense for both sides. Like, the Patriots had the sure-handed guy who wasn't flashy. The Bengals had a flashier guy in Benson who wasn't sure-handed, had a fumbling issue. They wanted the sure-handed guy to add to their offense now. The Patriots wanted a little spark. It's great right now. It's honeymoon. But if Ridley fumbles, now you're back to what's more valuable,
right?
The 15-yard runs or holding on to the football.
And
so it's after this great game, it's easy to have this conversation. But let's see how he goes with the ball security. I loved the run, Fred, and I said this to Paul. He broke left, always has the ball in the wrong hand. It's on the inside hand. But he's just as he's breaking through for about a 6 yard, I think the safety or outside linebacker comes up, puts his hand right on the ball, and he kind of spun out of it and kept right on moving. I love to see that. You know, build on that. Build on chances where you could have fumbled and you didn't, and just get that confidence going.
Yeah.
I think that was Griffin. I don't know if that might have been a play Griffin tried to get him whipped on him.
Right, it might have been. But
the
Ridley, it's great to be excited right now, but let's be honest, that was a good game. There's going to be games that will go the other way.
Yeah, he had the game in Oakland last year.
Well, he had a lot of flash. I thought everything we saw last night, we saw last year. You know, these 10-yard runs. The one thing I will say, I don't know if he's capable of big runs. He hasn't had a ton of huge runs. So, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a bunch of 15 to 17-yard runs. You can be elite with those kinds of runs. You don't necessarily have to break the 70-yarder to be elite.
Well, so many teams play so conservative these days that it's hard. You don't see a lot unless it's one of the elite backs. You don't see these running backs
not
taking
a lot of
it
Bo
to the
Jacksons
house.
Out there.
No. Well, I would. One thing that I worry about a little bit with him, more so than the ball security, is his health. I think he runs violently, and I think he runs sort of straight up.
Yeah.
And I think he lends himself to some hits.
He could be a high stepper at times, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you can never predict that. It's...
No. But I'm saying the way he runs is a little different to me.
But even that,
guys.
The turning your back to me is an injury
he,
way.
Well,
to
I thought he makes himself susceptible to hits.
Certainly. But I think that's hard to predict, even with a running style. I mean, there's guys that run upright who have long careers.
Right.
There's guys who run upright.
Yeah. Eric Dickerson ran upright,
right.
And
he was fine.
He was one of the greats.
All right, Christian.
Andy, I just want to say, Andy.
Suck it.
F you up all day, bitch.
Oh, come on now. Wow. Nick is in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing today, Fred?
Great.
Feeling better then?
I'm feeling much better.
Okay, that's good. So I missed the beginning of the show. So what do you guys think is the number one storyline to take away from this game?
I think the run defense and run offense. I mean,
that's two.
Well, okay, I'll condense it. Ground control.
Okay, I like that little loophole to get around that. Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to agree. I think Ridley really was hitting those holes hard, and he's had a provided a spark to our running game that we haven't had since Corey Dillon, maybe.
Since Corey Dillon.
Since Corey Dillon. And I was thinking on the other end, the negative aspect, you know, I really think Welker might go the way of Randy Moss. They'll just trade them before week six and we get whatever we can for him. He's really proving to be obsolete in this new offense.
Great cash, homie.
Oh, obsolete?
I also want to put a break. I want to put the brakes on the new offense, too. What's new? I don't understand. We played one game.
What I'm saying is that we don't have to pump eight passes towards Wes Welker.
Okay, well, I'll be convinced to that, you know, maybe if we don't have to target him at all, you know, for, say, 2 months.
Andy's on my side. He doesn't think Welker's going to have 100 catches.
Because
the first time since, what, would be his leg?
But what do you think? Why do you think that he won't have 100 catches? What do you think he's going to end up with?
Coming into the year, I thought 80, 85
right,
in that range.
Well, he had three the other day.
He'll make
right.
that.
He may not make that, but I'm also not saying he's obsolete in this offense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a big difference between not getting 125 catches and being obsolete.
Right.
He was obsolete on Sunday.
So look, we can replace three catches with anybody. We can replace three catches with Julian Edelman.
Andy, I was wrong. 42 minutes, but I did find something to get interested in this show about.
No, but...
Wow.
So Nick...
I mean, we were just expecting to run for 170 yards every week, I guess, now.
I mean,
the new offense.
He was only targeted five times. One was clearly a drop. The other one, I forget what the nature of that incomplete was. I don't remember it being, Russ's fault.
I agree with Nick that he was obsolete on Sunday.
On Sunday, sure.
But I don't think he'll be obsolete 16 straight weeks.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think we need to replace three catches. And I'm not the hugest Welker guy out there. You guys,
exactly.
You guys all
you
know that. But he's not obsolete.
A catching machine.
No, but what I'm saying is,
been a catching machine when Brady had to go to him.
I also don't think they're going to run the ball that effectively every week. I'm sorry.
He didn't have to go to him yesterday.
At some point, other teams are going to say, hey, you know what? They're going to hand the ball to that guy once in a while. We can't let him run for 125 yards.
I'm not saying that Ridley replaces Walker. I'm saying
you compared him to Corey Dillon.
And Gronkowski replace him.
Well, yeah, we knew that going in, that those guys, you know, and it started a little last year, that they're now a bigger part of the offense than anything else.
But wait a minute.
You add Ridley in, and I'm sorry for you fantasy people that have Welker on your team, but it's going to take away from Wes Welker.
Hernandez and Gronk were here last year, and he still caught 122 or three passes.
But they didn't have Ridley.
All in on Ridley?
That's what I'm
saying. No,
listen.
Like
he had
Ridley,
a game.
If Ridley can do what he did, that's going to take away.
It still doesn't make your wide receiver obsolete. You still have to have wide receivers.
Obsolete, but doesn't it take away catches?
And I predicted he'd have 80. I took away 40 catches coming into the season.
I took away
30% of his production.
And I agree with you.
A week ago. Because you thought, besides Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez, they got nothing.
I can't keep up with Freddie. He went from 1 week being, I can't stay healthy. I don't know about this guy. Now he's going to run for 2,000 yards.
I said,
if he could do this every week.
You guys don't listen. I said,
if he can do this every week.
If Ridley can do what he does, that's naturally going to take catches away from everybody.
Yeah, well, that's a huge if.
But if he does, is regard that doesn't make Welker irrelevant and unload him before week six.
But don't, don't say that I'm saying that. I'm saying that's not a bad thing.
But 4 days ago, you didn't think he was good enough.
That's not an indictment on Welker, is what I'm
saying. Who's
saying
it is?
This guy, Nick. Well,
this guy called him obsolete. This guy has no idea what he's talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, that's Andy. That's your, Nick, that's your buddy Andy right there.
Let me get this straight.
Nick, that's your buddy Andy ripping you.
Yeah. Don't worry about him. I've been through
him. Is it Nick in San Diego or Dick?
See now?
What? I didn't know if his name was Richard or Nicholas.
You guys want to spend $9.5 million on a receiver who's going to catch three passes a week?
Okay, so when
no point of that.
Okay.
Wait a minute, though.
That's
you're not
getting
that.
That's not how they run their offense. But, you make more money, you need more catches.
What are you going to do with the money? You've spent that money. It's on your cap.
All right. Are you willing to spend $9.5 million on a running back who's going to average 125 yards a game? Because if we're going to play the one game thing, I'm going to play it too.
Running back. I'm saying
and we got to cut we got to cut Brady's contract because, you know, for 230 yards, I mean, I can get Ryan Fitzpatrick to do that. Why do I have to guarantee him $60 million? I tell you, we really got to give a raise to Chandler Jones because if he's going to have a strip sack that sets up a touchdown every week, he's way underpaid. We got to find a way to get that. You know, Brandon Spike should be off the team. You're one tackle. What are we paying for then? I mean, let's just play the one game thing with everything.
Catches a year. So there's no way that what we're paying him is going to be worth the production.
There's no way he's going to average three catches a game all year if he's healthy.
And by the way, I'm fine paying him $9 million if he catches 80 something balls.
Right. I mean, three catches, he's not going to.
I didn't say I'm going to give him 5 years, $50 million after he does that. But I'm talking about this season. I don't see this need to unload him now because he's obsolete.
Not a need. He's just not necessary. He really is not necessary.
Wow.
Three catches, 14 yards.
But you're basing
he
this
was
Nick
unnecessary
on game?
Sunday, Nick.
On one game,
they didn't need him on Sunday. You don't think they're going to need him at all during the course of the season?
For a third down catch here and there.
I can't believe that I am like this, you know, flag waver for Wes Welker. After the last 5 years, but I mean, even I have never, dismissed him as being obsolete.
After one game in one season,
now he's going to catch less than 50 passes this year.
Look, if you're going to say that
loose change, if you're going to quote me,
if you're going to say the necessity of Wes Welker to Tom Brady won't be as much as it was in past years, okay, I'll agree with that because of all these other weapons.
I'll agree with that.
That's not an indictment on Wes Welker.
No, I'm not.
That's a good thing.
Wait, so if you're not the number one option. You're obsolete and should be traded? Is that how it works?
There's a big gap there.
Right.
Passing offenses need four or five options.
I mean, I'll go back to that.
Maybe he's Deion Branch. Maybe he'll just catch 50 balls in the fourth role that Deion Branch did last year. You still need to have that on a team.
He's the fifth option.
Well, I'll go back.
Behind Gronk, behind Hernandez, and behind Lloyd.
But, Nick, would you rather have...
I will guarantee you right now, Nick, and you can call back in week 17... He will not have fewer receptions, if healthy, than all three of those guys. I will guarantee you.
And
I'll bet you anything you want.
And Nick, would you go back to the
Bills? Take it. Wait, whoa. Let's get this bet going.
Well, hold on. Go back to the Bills game.
I will buy you lunch.
Go back to the Bills game last year in Buffalo that the Patriots lost. The only option that Brady had was Welker, really.
Right.
Would you rather have it that way?
In what game?
The Bills game that they lost last year.
That's not true.
Gronkowski, Ridley, and Lloyd,
then Welker. Yeah,
he ended up
catching all the passes, but Gronk played that game.
I know, but it just seemed that whenever they were in a
seems like in reality,
Paul,
it's two different
whenever
things.
They needed a big third down, it was Welker.
Right. Okay. So was that Gronkowski on Sunday? Because that's what it seemed like every time they had a third down, they went to Gronk.
He argues with everything. My point is, he's not even listening.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with the commissioner would say. I don't agree with your premise.
Would you rather have it that Welker has to be the guy that Brady always turns to in a pinch, or would you rather have it like it was yesterday?
And the reason why I'm arguing, Fred, is I don't think they had to have it that way. That's the way they chose to do it.
No, but what are you arguing?
They have options, Fred. They had options last year, and they have options this year.
I'd rather have it spread around than having Welker have 125 catches.
Well, but you're not going to have that if you trade Welker. Now you're going to have to go to Gronk because you got rid of one of the other options.
I agree with you, Andy.
And one of those guys is going to end up with 100 catches.
Probably.
So then you're going to be upset about that in 2 years.
Right.
Like Hernandez?
Yes.
Yeah, Cecil, there you go.
Not all three of them, though, Nick. You said
what
all three
you,
of those
What are you there
guys.
You going? What are you talking about, Nick?
You said Gronk, Hernandez, and Lloyd. will all have more catches than Welker.
No, I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
It does not come down to catches. It comes down to big plays.
Oh, okay.
A couple of third.
Well, then Welker hasn't been the top option in his entire career.
Just so you know, I'm not betting that because I'm not. I mean, I don't know who the arbiter of the big play is.
Welker certainly had some big plays when it comes to first downs, and he had the one in Miami. But
bets off. My bet's off. Welker's not betting big plays.
Would you rather have Welker or Gronkowski on your team?
Gronkowski.
That is not a debate.
Gronkowski. Welker,
why are we making up debates that are irrelevant?
I'm making my answer. Gronkowski.
They are both on your team, and they both will be on your team all season.
Number five option. That's what he is.
Who cares what he is?
How did he get a number five?
I don't even care. Pretend that the guy on the phone who's retarded is right. Why do we care whether he's 1, 3, or 5? He's part of your offense that's going to be among the best in football.
He hasn't gotten worse. The other guys have gotten better.
Right. Why do we want to get worse by choice by trading him? Unless somebody's going to knock your socks off, by the way. I'm not closing the door on trade. If somebody offers me a first-round pick for Welker, I'll take it in a heartbeat. But this guy said he's obsolete, so let's unload him before week 6.
I don't know if it was up in that game. He was definitely obsolete.
Well, that's one game, though.
All right, get rid of him.
That's one game.
Go.
All right,
I mean, go, Nick.
Call back after the Cardinals.
Fred,
game.
Like on your point about the Buffalo game last year, right? Gronk was obsolete in that game.
Right.
Because they went to Welker every play.
Right.
Should we have just gotten rid of Gronk that day?
Good point. Yeah, I think look, whether it's positive or negative, and whether it's the Patriots or any other team this week, these declarations of this is how it's going to be for the rest of the season is crazy.
Well, and
I've never seen it more like this year. It's unbelievable. Everybody's an expert now, because of the blog, the Bleacher Report people, and all these people.
Wow, they don't have to call anyone out.
No, but I'm just saying.
Football Nation.
Everybody has a forum now and a platform, whether it's your fantasy team or whatever. Everybody thinks they know what's going to happen.
It's amazing how much
17,
week one is just so,
it's
the
unbelievable.
The Jets are in the Super Bowl. Flacco's going to throw for 5,000 yards. San Francisco's got the best offense in football. I don't.
Yeah.
It's one game. If Stephen Ridley, can consistently grind out yards the way he did on Sunday, now I'll be saying this is a different offense. On one week, their offense was much different than it was last year for one week. But are we all convinced that that's their offense now?
No, because I was pretty sure they're a game plan offense. So I don't know what they're going to be
and
next
I also
week.
Found
now,
it
I
interesting.
Do think they theoretically want to be different. I think they want to run the ball more. I think Josh has said they want to have a more complementary attack. Brady has said it.
Can you look in the fourth quarter for our second-to-last possession, I think? Because I also found it interesting that on at least one of the possessions, you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the second to last possession. How do we start off?
Short pass, Ridley, 20 yards.
And then what?
Woodhead, right tackle, 3 yards.
Was there more passing or did it go running from that?
Pass, run, pass, run,
I found that interesting. It was a big lead. It was like 28-10 maybe?
Run, pass.
28-10 on that possession started?
28-13.
We kicked a field goal? 28-13. I found it interesting that we threw the ball as much on that possession because I really thought I thought that's where we'd see the difference between Josh and Bill O'Brien. I thought Bill O'Brien, my one criticism of him, and I know I was awfully defensive of Bill O'Brien, but my one criticism consistently was that I didn't think he ran the ball enough with the lead in the fourth quarter. And I was surprised to see us come out and throw the ball on that possession a little bit. And then we moved the ball and we got going, and then he ground the clock out with some runs when we kicked the field goal. That was good to see.
I'll take another call. Most interesting Patriots fan in the world is on the line. Hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Great.
Bay Jackson, a caller. And I think Nick's calls are obsolete as well.
I agree. I'm going to give Nick credit and say he was just trying to get us going.
I think so. I thought Paul was out of the show for a while, and he's straight back in there. I thought what I liked, again, I don't want to get too excited and things like that. I thought Ridley's conversion on third down. Third and one, he got 17. Third and four, he got 8. And a third and two, he got 16. So that was just a novel thing. I was looking at my TV, slightly confused as what was going on, getting all these extra yardages. But the one thing I'll take away from the game, and I know it's just one game and things like that, it seemed to me that if I think the offense, maybe it's changed, the defense has certainly got better. But the one thing I took away is I was looking at the team and thinking, in the past, we've lived and died by Tom Brady. And the way I look at the team now, and again, it's only the first week, but it's almost as if with this team, if they keep playing the way they are, you know, Tom could probably have a bad game, and it's not going to be the be-all and end-all of this team. So I'm just very positive about it. I think having a better defense like that, again, we'll do us better in the playoffs and things like that, and maybe, hopefully, in the future, we don't live and die by Tom having a bad game.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that.
I mean, I agree with that. And even going in, I think on the blog before the game, somebody asked, how many yards do you think Brady will throw for? And I just threw out 317, okay?
Yeah.
If somebody had said he's only going to throw for 230, I would have said, wow, this is going to be a close game. Because I wasn't counting on Ridley. You know?
No, I would agree with the whole before the game thing. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think that they can win consistently against anybody of any value if he doesn't play well. I think he played pretty well.
I'm not talking about him being inconsistent. I'm saying him having a few bad plays, a few bad this, a bad game. Because I think in the playoffs, if he plays subpar, which perhaps he has done in the Super Bowl and hasn't played up to his ability, he can still probably have a subpar game and we can win, which was never, ever the case with a bad defense and being so pass-orientated
I understand. And it's one of those things that I was sort of complaining with Nick. Like, it's a subjective thing. Who's making the decision?
Yeah.
You know, I thought he had a bad game against Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. They should have lost.
Yeah.
You know, to James's argument, they should have lost the game.
Right.
But I don't think that they're going to win many games with him not playing well. If he plays a bad game, I think they're going to lose.
I don't think any team is going to win games with its quarterback.
I totally agree.
He was flying solo. He had no running game and no defense. I think we all think the potential is there for the defense and running game to be better. So, naturally, you aren't going to need quite as much out of the passing game if you actually have two other complementary factors to your team.
And Wes Welker, too. All right. Thanks, James.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, Will's on the phone, Matt's on the phone, Ken's on the phone. We'll get all to your calls right after this.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And we're down here at the, are we still at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios? I never say that, so I just did. Joel in Merrimack says, hey guys, wow. Welker has one game where he's not a star and people are ready to write him off as obsolete. Ridley's runs were a big reason that Welker didn't see the ball as much. Once other teams figure that we can run the ball, Welker will be targeted more. It was nice that we could run like that against the Titans, but I don't expect that to happen every week. Now if it does, then that's a different story. The thing that had me scratching my head was at the very last field goal, and even more than that, that last time out. I had no clue what Belichick was doing. Now I have a question. I've noticed both last season and this season that a number of Brady's passes are around the shoestrings. Is this on purpose? Thanks, guys, and great show. I don't think they're on purpose, no.
And I haven't noticed it on a consistent basis. Right. Clearly, it was an issue on Sunday. He had, I would say, 4 or 5 really low throws on Sunday, and Gronkowski just made an unbelievable catch.
Did you hear
on
him,
one of them?
Did you hear him talk about it on Dennis and Callahan?
No.
They asked him.
They worked that in between, you know, yeah, questions about his hair,
shining
and nose,
his shoes, and all that stuff. But anyway, they asked him if it was mechanical or by design, and he said it was an issue with his mechanics, and he said he corrected it as the game went along. So he acknowledged that it was a problem with him.
As the game went on, wasn't it in the third quarter?
I just thought it was interesting. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that he didn't just schluff it off, and he said, "Yeah, it was a problem with my motion."
No, it clearly was a problem. It would be funny though, because you know how this back shoulder thing has evolved. Now everybody does it. It'd be funny if in like 5 years we're saying he threw one of those pretty shoe top throws that they become all the rage.
Right.
Put it where only his guy could catch it. I do need to say an apology.
You know, it's been the last 5 years that throw has been in vogue, and only 7 receivers have been paralyzed as a result.
Right. I shouldn't have said retarded earlier about Nick. That's not an appropriate term, even if it's
no,
true.
No, it isn't.
I shouldn't have said
I missed that, and I would have corrected you if I had heard it.
Even if it's true, it's not right.
No, it isn't. Especially
know,
if it's
we know,
true.
We know what you mean.
I was wondering if that would sit with you. Have you noticed, actually, a total side topic, they're not called disabled anymore. It's differently abled.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well. Okay. All right, let's
what was
go.
That?
I'm still disabled.
You're just fat.
Let's get back to the phone, shall we?
Not Will, a disability.
Will is in West Palm. Hey, Will.
Hey, Fred.
How you
good
doing?
Good to talk to you. Oh, I'm doing great.
Big fan of you guys. You, Paul, Andy, you guys do a good job. Paul's the man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Is it just me, or is Eric kind of the Jermaine Cunningham this season? It seems like he's kind of stepping it up.
I think that might be apt. I think
it's just you.
No,
much like Jermaine Cunningham and Stephen Ridley.
Look, give Eric his props.
It's 1 week.
That was a good article he had.
And I said he did a good job.
Right. So, you know, give him a little credit.
I didn't read it, but I was told that it was sort of similar to something that Andy and I already do.
You'd think spending, whatever, the last 5 years with Paul and I, sooner or later, greatness would rub off and he would learn how to do his job.
Things have rubbed off. I don't know if it's greatness.
Yeah. Well, way to be humble, guys.
Thanks, Will.
Listen, no problem. Hey, I got a question. Did you guys notice McCourty fielding the kickoffs? Nope.
Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering why, like, Edelman or maybe Woodhead wasn't back there.
Well, I don't think Woodhead stinks.
Yeah, I think we know why Woodhead.
He did good. He returned, like, 25 or 28 yards. But
28, yeah.
Yeah.
That was his one
run. McCourty had one good return.
McCourty's been doing it in the summer, and they're still trying to find somebody who's better than Woodhead.
I was just going to say, I don't think we've seen, you know, what that is ultimately going to be. They're still searching for that guy.
Yep.
Right. That leads me to Demps. Do you think that putting him on the IR for the season was necessary, or could we have used that, the IR, where they can come back after 8 weeks?
You could have. You didn't.
It's a good question.
Yeah it is a good question.
I don't understand that.
No one really knows the severity of his injury. It didn't look...
I think it would have been a question that might have been asked of the head coach.
Yep.
You know, in a press conference.
Okay.
But it is a good question, and, you know, we'll have to wait until next year to see.
But I think you have the answer. They thought the best interest wasn't keeping him on the team because they could have kept him on the team. I don't believe the injury would have said he can't play all year. I just think it's probably a case a guy got here really late. You don't know what he is. You know, it's just
right.
And even
when he comes back, he'll be starting from scratch.
Right. Too little, too late, and roster spot. Next year he'll be ready to go.
Okay, I get that. And was it just me, or did Ninkovich kind of disappear out there on Sunday?
I don't think that they would have been so successful against the run if he disappeared. Now, maybe he didn't show up, you know, in the stats that much, but I think that he was part of contain, and I think he did that pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he did a fine job. I thought he and Chandler Jones did a good job of eliminating any cutback lanes in the game. That they didn't make any Jones had the big strip sack, but they didn't. Other than that, they didn't make any flashy plays, but they made good football plays that you need. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you only notice when it's like when Ninkovich played that role in Denver last year, the game that really had Andy concerned all summer. With Ninkovich playing full-time at defensive end, you noticed Ninkovich a lot for the negative in that first half in Denver last year when Tebow ran all over him.
Right. But they did their job, and Ninkovich, you know, included. They did their job.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm really happy with their performance. And you guys keep up the good work. You're doing a great job, and I'll get out of your way.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Nobody's in our way when they call the show or email. That's part of
especially
the show.
When they're complimenting us.
Right. Don't think you're inconveniencing us. Your participation makes the show much better. Ken's in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, a couple of things that I kind of took away from this that really pleased me as much as the win. The ball control. We had over 50% ball control on this game, 31 and some seconds. Where last year, very seldom did we have 50% of ball control. Also, having a running game where there was, 35 running plays to 31 passing games, I think is terrific. It shows a lot more balance in what we're doing than what we've shown in the past.
I agree with you, and I thought it was kind of eye-opening how much Brady talked about that post-game and said, you know, I've always said that you want to be balanced. And he talked about the importance of running and said, if we're around 30 throws, that's where we want to be. You don't want to be dropping back 50 times. I thought that was
and Mankin said it
very
too.
Interesting. But Brady...
Wow. I'm not surprised that an offensive lineman said it.
Brady, I think it's a little different. You know, that's a little different tune from the days of we're trying to kill people. We're trying to blow people out from back in 2007 to... You foundation of your team, he said, is running and stopping the run. That's a little more old school philosophy than we've seen around here in the last 5 years.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that may be
that's one of the best things that I've seen.
Yeah, I agree. Now we just have to see it 15 more times.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, let's make that 18 more times.
Yeah,
all the
true.
Way into February. Right.
Okay, guys.
All right, Ken. Thanks for the call. See you, Kenny.
Do you remember when we had that? We had one of our silly arguments, you and I, about the 2004 team.
Did I win?
And how much they bludgeoned teams. And the numbers didn't necessarily show it. They didn't have as many blowout wins, but I said how good that offense was. I remember a lot of games.
What did I argue? That offense wasn't good?
No. You did, but it wasn't that you were saying the offense wasn't good, but I was saying that the offense was
better
in a lot of ways better than the 07 offense. Not as powerful, but in a lot of ways they won games just as easily. It just didn't show in the score. We had one of a stupid semantic kind of arguments. That's not important, but.
Because we also know the argument could break out again if we delve a little too deep here.
Sure.
Let's stay on the surface
here.
Sure.
Well, I actually have an argument that I can bring up in a second because I think you guys probably disagree with me. But on this particular thing, I thought there were a lot of games. Like Ken just brought this up with the balance and all this stuff. I thought the Sunday game was kind of similar to that where it really wasn't a blowout. I mean, 34-13 makes it look like a blowout.
Right.
It really wasn't. But they were really never in trouble.
I know what
once
you're saying.
Chandler Jones had the strip sack. It was one of those in the
olden like that
in the olden days. Yep. I would have turned to Fred and said, "There's
the
nod."
Right.
You know, back when we had a defense, the game was never really in question again after that. Now there was a cut. You know, Tennessee made a little run. They forced a punt to open the second half. They went down and scored, and they forced a punt to get the ball back.
Right.
You know, at 21-10. They get the ball back, and the Patriots forced a 3-and-out. That was a big juncture in the game. But that's the kind of thing, offensively, they weren't anywhere near as dynamic Sunday as they have been in the recent past. But I think it was, in a lot of ways, more effective.
Yeah, you felt confident throughout the game. You know, after that first drive where the Titans took it down, only got three, you felt in control.
But I
didn't really feel in control until the strip sack. Yeah, I wouldn't have felt in control if that was a good team they were playing.
Right, well, that's what I mean. Even the exact same performance.
Yes, I agree.
Or even slightly worse.
I'm with you.
If it's Peyton Manning of, the good old days or one of these great, you don't feel good. You feel good because it's Jake Locker.
Because Jake Locker wasn't going to engineer three straight touchdown drives to beat you.
So that's a big part of that.
And I agree with you. But the thing I think that I might start an argument with.
Yourself?
Would you rather have just
Brooklyn Decker.
Talking about this whole, the time of possession thing. Would you rather have the 35 rushes, 31, actually 32 passes because they got sacked once, that they had and win the time of possession battle and score 27 points, which is what they did?
Right.
Or would you rather maybe 10 fewer rushes, 5 fewer minutes of time of possession, but score 35 points? Like, would you sacrifice points for the other things? I think it's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, but
I don't want to go too dramatic with the point swing to make it obvious. But it's one more score is basically what I'm saying.
It's one more score.
Because that's about what they averaged last year was 33 or 34 a game, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one.
I mean, I would always take the points, I think, wouldn't
I? I think I would take the points. I thought you guys might argue with me. I would take the points. Like, in other words, listen, I love the way they won the game on Sunday, but I think we overrate that.
The idea is to score points. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then it comes down to your defense.
Like I heard a lot.
To me, what it comes down to is it's not a fair comparison. It's about how your team is built. Because we all know, we've seen a team here a number of times that could score endless points when it wanted to at certain times of the regular season and not score enough when it needed to when the rubber met the road for a championship. And I think at that point, you get philosophical. Well, maybe you've had a little better running game. Maybe if you could keep that defense off the field,
maybe
X, Y, Z. You know what I mean? So,
well, I guess the question would be, do you think they're more equipped
in week one against Tennessee?
Yeah, no, I know that. But I didn't necessarily mean to extrapolate it from just this week. But I heard a lot of guys on the radio yesterday, and not just callers. There were a lot of the analysts, too.
Who? You know, Steve DiAssi?
He was one of them, and Felger and Maz were another one.
They're not really analysts.
And those kinds of guys, and they were talking. And a lot of the callers were calling up saying, this is what happened. Last year, I would talk to you guys and say, the time of possession, and they were putting the defense in bad spots, and the defense was on the field too much. I'm sorry. I can't apologize if I'm the offense, if I'm scoring too fast. Because that's basically what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It was a ridiculously productive offense that scored more often than not. They punted as few as any time anybody in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. If the trade-off for that is you got to play three more minutes than you did yesterday, because even with all the running they did, it was still an even time. It was still an even time of possession game, 31-29.
Right, in an offense like that, Paul, if your defense does get three and outs, you're scoring even more points. You know, so
You can still get off the field.
Right, you still can get off the field, and that means more points for an offense like that. So, yeah, you can't take – you never take points off the board,
right,
ever.
That would be my bottom line, is you always want the points.
Yeah.
Maserati also said S-H-I blind kiss.
Really?
On the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was getting worked up. He was yelling all of a sudden. And I guess he just came back from vacation or he was off a few days.
He was off the last couple of days.
He claims that happens to him. He forgets, like, it's not in vacation mode anymore.
No, a couple more of those, Andy.
He's swearing at his kids.
Andy, a couple more of those will slide right in.
TGNNJ writes, and is it me or does it seem that Fred always goes opposite of Andy and Paul, not even recognizing the other guy from Bikini Bottom over there?
But it's not fake.
Andy and Paul are usually negative, and Fred is the homer to counter. Now that Andy and Paul are amazingly being positive, Fred is now the negative Nancy. Fred, are you doing it for the radio show to get some good debates going, or is it genuine?
It's genuine. Here's the thing. It's so sad that it seems fake.
It is genuine, but these guys make it out to be more negative than it really is. Concern is not, I think they're bad. It's just something I'm worried about. That's all. And I'm happy to be wrong and not concerned after week one. But, you know, these guys
will see, there was tone
but,
there. There was tone
but,
there.
But these guys make it out like, you know, I'm, you know, name your ESPN guy that you hate that
all
you
right,
think
so,
hates the Patriots.
So we were wrong about that. The email is wrong, too, because they obviously see it the same way. The email is asking you if you're being negative.
No matter what I say, you guys want to disagree with it. You just do. I could tell you that the sky is blue and you would tell me,
you're saying that when
it's raining out.
No, but you're the one who's disagreeing.
You're claiming that Andy and I are twisting it and making it sound like that you're more negative than you're really being. But the emailers are obviously reading it the same way.
But regardless of
that, you guys keep saying it.
We're not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
You've spent years trying to get us to be positive, and when we're finally positive, you changed. Yeah. You are the blind homer who's no longer blind and no longer a homer.
If it works, I'll stick to it. I love overreaction week.
You're Tom Jackson. I was just trying to get him riled up.
I love overreaction week. The week after the first game, the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl. The Niners are going to the Super Bowl. The Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. The Jets are, well, I'll stop there.
Going to the Super Bowl.
Guys, seems the new refs are letting the players play. Seems there are less holding and PI calls. What do you think? Do you like it? Is it good for the game? Will the regular officials have to cave in now? And who is next in the depth chart to step in if Solder gets knocked out? And lastly, Fred, do you hate Dan Copen now that he has joined Peyton and the Broncos? I didn't know he's over there, did he?
Yeah, his ass is now going to have the two greatest hands of the generation under it.
But who's their starting? It's not like they're looking for a starting center, are they?
Some guy who sucks, yeah.
Oh, they are looking for a starting center.
Some guy who sucks. Okay. Pro Football Focus, I think, rated him the worst center in football last year.
Well, I'm actually, you know, I'm happy for Dan Copen. Great guy. You know, you want to see him have a job. It's great.
We'll revisit this tomorrow after he has a press conference.
What does that mean?
It's just good to be wanted again somewhere or something.
Well, if he says something negative against the Patriots, then I'll come at him. You know? If he wants to be like
that. Here's the thing, though, Fred. I don't really care what he says. You will deem it as to have been negative.
Right.
That's where you separate yourself.
Unless he goes with, I'll talk about the team I'm on now.
Like TG is absolutely right about overreaction week or whatever he called it, week one, except for TJ, yeah.
TG.
TG and NJ.
TG
yeah.
and NJ, yeah. Right.
Anyway, he's absolutely right, except for he conveniently left out the part where the Patriots are one of those teams. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere yesterday on both channels, NFL Network and ESPN without an ode to the Patriots, and
but that's legit.
The playmakers
team
on defense
over the last 12 years now.
Well, I liked Boomer Esiason last.
Fred, yes, yeah. That's what Andy and I have been trying to tell you all summer.
Right,
Boomer Esiason last night was doing the Bengals game on the radio for Monday Night Football, and after a Green Ellis run, he said, "You know, Green Ellis, good solid guy, good back. It's a nice, but you could see after yesterday why the Patriots wanted to go in a different direction with Stephen Ridley." Well, first of all, it was a money thing. Had Green Ellis just come back for whatever they offered, he'd be back. And are we really willing to say that's Ridley? That's what they're going to get for the next 15 weeks?
Because if it is, they are going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, you're right.
Rensis writes in, he says, live and die with Brady? Castle won 11 games. Belichick's teams are never one-man shows. So there, Paul.
And I'll just add.
Tick, 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 tick.
How far did they make it in the playoffs that year? Crickets.
Well, he can't actually answer.
Well, yeah, he's just an email. He's not on the phone.
Can I get a truth serum answer?
Okay. What?
How much winning over the last 12 years do you think they would have done without Brady?
And Castle's a quarterback? Not a lot.
No. Just well, without Brady. I don't care who the quarterback
well,
is.
Well, I mean, it kind of depends.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback?
Yeah. He can never just answer
why,
the question.
Why? Who's the quarterback?
Peyton Manning the quarterback?
I mean, if Kevin O'Connell's a quarterback, not a lot.
Can you?
Ryan Mallett's
a quarterback? But can't you just, like you look at it and say the chances are they wouldn't have a quarterback as good as Brady?
Chances, yes.
Okay, so then do you think they would have won a lot less
but
games?
Now do they spend yes. money on the best defensive
because,
players?
Because I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense because people just say 11-5, but that was five fewer games than that team had won the previous season.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a big drop.
It's true.
Give them a tip of the hat for not falling apart like right. the Colts did.
Right.
And that's a testament to Bill Belichick.
Right.
He would not allow his team to fall apart and be irrelevant.
Correct.
But they finished five games weaker than they were the previous season.
That's true.
And didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
I think he's mocking
I know
him.
He
I'm
is.
I'm not mocking him. I'm agreeing with everything he
this
says.
This is when you don't have any opinion in it at all. It's all just laced in absolute fact, and he still mocks you.
I'm not mocking you.
You are mocking
you're very
me.
Very defensive.
Wow, what a great throw by Fitzpatrick.
You're very defensive.
On that play to Cromartie. I hadn't seen that in the highlights.
Freddie, did you pick Clay Matthews as the most overrated?
I did.
He had a bad game. First
okay.
game.
So we're going to say.
He did?
No,
yeah,
he had
did nothing.
He had a sack.
I thought he had 2.5 sacks.
Well, then he got it late when the game was over because he was completely getting criticized the whole telecast. I watched that game.
Okay, Paul, don't yell at me.
He must have gotten him late.
Oh,
I'm not
Paul.
Yelling
at right,
you. You're ready to go one game and, you know,
I haven't
on both
raised
your
my
picks.
Voice
right.
at
you
all.
Also had Cam Newton as your MVP.
I know he had a bad game.
But I think if he had sacks in that game, then I think it kind of goes to your. Overrated thing because people will look at that and think he played well and
right.
he was getting killed.
Well, right. but his argument wasn't your argument. He went from 16 to 10 to
well,
7.
No, but if that's the one thing he does well, even that's getting, you know, going down.
Except for he's on pace for
I think the,
37 sacks.
Well, yeah.
I right. think at the end of the game when Green Bay just put 11 on the line and said we have to go after, and I think he got a sack late in the game.
I may have misread it. I mean, he may not even have two sacks.
But
I don't know.
I saw him have one. And
they actually yeah. showed a montage of highlights of him getting just absolutely stoned. It was like in the second half.
I think
Joe
you
Buck
can do
and
that
Troy
to
Aikman.
Him.
Well,
I think he stinks. I thought he was a special teamer coming into the league.
You can do that to anybody if
I
you
know.
Decide to take him out of the game, as Bill often tells Andy and I. You know,
not Eric.
Andy and I. Well, he won't talk to him.
You know,
Eric won't talk to him. So why should he talk back?
Everybody's saying how San Francisco's offense is really, really good this year.
No one's saying that except for Merrill Hodge.
Well,
by the way,
but
I keep saying that.
Remember, it's
that's
Green
Merrill
Bay's
Hodge.
Defense has Green
and
Bay's,
they didn't move the ball.
Has Green Bay's defense gotten better from like? Remember, they were in the same boat as the Patriots,
right?
You know,
they had some.
Except
very,
they didn't play a cupcake in Week One.
Good they, point.
San Francisco had some sort of cheap points in that game.
Okay.
No, they did. I'm not making fun of them, but Green Bay's defense, I mean, San Francisco's offense is not very good. So for them to allow 30 to San Francisco says that Green Bay's still got a long way to go on defense.
Lance
but
J.
is San Francisco's offense better than the Titans?
No.
Really?
Really? I think it is.
I don't think it is. Certainly not with Kenny Britt. Now, we didn't face Kenny Britt.
Right.
So that's a big difference.
Lance J. says, I think when Vereen gets healthy, there will be three running backs sharing carries. Ridley was it on Sunday. That allowed him to get into a rhythm and a great feel for the game. When all three backs are splitting carries, you will see the running back game we are used to. As a result, we will pass more, and the wideouts will have more targets. I think Gronkowski and Hernandez will be the only consistent guys each week. Lance, if they think that Ridley is going to do better with more carries, why would they let Vereen come back and screw that up? So, you know, Lance is saying that when the running backs are healthy, we're going to see more of the running game that we used to see.
That's our question. We're going to argue on TV later today. Is it?
You think it is?
Time to ditch the committee backfield and say Stephen Ridley's our lead back, 20-plus carries, booyah.
Yes, if as long as he stays that way, you keep feeding him. Absolutely.
But you keep answering questions with the answer. If we knew the answer, there would be no debate. Like Brandon Lloyd, if nothing else happens,
I have absolutely no problems with what he's done so far.
But I don't think Vereen gets healthy, and all of a sudden you say, all right, well, now we have a healthy stable of running backs. We're gonna not give it to Ridley as much as we were.
But the question Andy and I are trying to sort of forecast is, can he be a reasonable facsimile of what he did Sunday for 16 games? Do you think that he's that guy?
If you have Corey Dillon circa 2004, you run him.
I'm certainly going to try to find out.
I'm not going to immediately go back to this committee until I find out if he can be that guy. Once I find out, okay.
And you seem to put Vereen in a negative light. It could also just be Ridley and Vereen. Vereen could just come back, be your third down back, and boom, bye-bye Woody.
Right. And that's fine.
Preferable.
Yeah. I think it is preferable.
Whoa. He cuts another guy loose. He was a Woodhead guy forever, and now he's not a Woodhead guy.
I can seem to remember him yelling at us for being negative last year.
Again, it's the same thing with Wes Welker. Just because Vereen and Ridley might be better doesn't mean I don't think Woodhead's any good.
Well, for a third down back, there's only so many of those touches.
I love Danny Woodhead.
There's 10 or 12 of those a game.
I love Danny Woodhead, but at the end of the day, Vereen could be better. End of story. I mean, why is it that, you know,
I don't want to be in a
all of a sudden,
him. He cuts
why,
ties with
why is
like
all
that.
Of a sudden, you know, Woodhead has to be bad just because Vereen is better? Because
he didn't play well. That's what made him bad.
For the last 16 months.
It had nothing to do with Vereen's presence last year. Vereen wasn't there. No. He didn't play well.
Leave Danny Woodhead alone for crying out loud.
Listen, if you're asking me about the person, I like him. I like the person a lot. He's a terrific kid. And he's a kid.
Keith says,
even though he's the veteran of the group.
Keith says, oh, my God. This is back to the whole Wes Welker argument that we had.
He's obsolete.
He says, oh, my God, the threat of Welker makes Ridley better.
The threat of everybody makes everybody better.
Well, I want to get into that a little bit. Don't you guys think that had a little something to do with Ridley on Sunday?
Well, yeah.
And before we just sort of anoint him.
Welker.
All of the threats.
Right. But his argument was like, well, I'm pointing to the Nick guy.
Right.
You know, you have Lloyd now, so he's in that mix of top couple weapons. Well, wasn't the whole idea you bring in Lloyd so that they can't collapse everything underneath into the middle? Why would you get rid of the underneath? Just now they can spend more time focusing on
Gronk.
Let's keep everything.
And the day that a team does load up against Ridley, Welker's going to have his 10 catches.
Right.
You know?
Well, there was
a chance he is back too, and I said this not production, but production wise, Deion Branch. Deion Branch had like four really good games last year, and then 12 and.
Right.
And that added up to
30, 40 catches.
50,
okay.
But I think you could see Welker become that guy. There's going to be 12 catches for 110 yards and two scores or a score. And then a couple weeks of this and that, and then back to boom, another.
It could.
He's not
going to
be
Nick
nine
be
catches
right.
every week.
Nick could be right. I think he'll have a lot more than that. But yeah, Nick could be right.
No, but my point is, and he could end up with a good season by doing that. I mean, the 50 catches is a good season.
Yeah.
If he does it a couple more times, now he's in the 70 catch range.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer to 70 or 80. But
I think his days of every week he's going to roll out of bed and catch nine balls are over. And that's what he's been as a Patriot. Roll out of bed. Nine balls, thank you for playing.
You might be right.
I think those days are gone. Those days are obsolete.
But I do think the larger point on the running game is accurate. And I'm not – listen, I said I love the way the offensive line took advantage of their opportunities on Sunday. You know, the situation obviously dictated – you know, what was it James said the, you know, third and two, you know, 17 yards, third and four. That's great. But you know what that tells me? The other team didn't think you were going to run it. Third and four. You know, they ran an off-tackle play, and I'm sorry, but the other team didn't think you were running it. Right? Third and four is not a running down in the NFL.
Right.
Certainly not for the Patriots. Maybe for San Francisco, that best offense in football, according to Merrill Hodge. But not in New England. That's not a running down. Now, let's see what happens when the other team lines up and says, like you said, all right, we got to stop Ridley.
Right.
And if they can still run it, then that'll be pretty impressive.
Richard is in Mansfield, England. He says he's formerly Dick in Victoria when I was on vacation in Canada last April. I just wanted to voice my excitement to what's to come.
Yeah, but what's your name?
Richard.
No. He's Dick in Victoria, but what's his name?
Just wanted to voice my excitement
when
for
I was
what's
14
to come
and Thursdays.
In the coming season. Ridley seemed on Sunday a real running back, something we've lacked for a while. If he can contribute with a few more 100-yard games as part of a committee of backs, we have added an extra dimension on offense finally. Lloyd impressed me and showed deep threat potential. However, Welker seemed underused, or was he just being well covered? The offense in general was more dynamic compared to last year with McDaniels using trick plays. Hopefully with a running game to fear and a deep threat in Lloyd, this will open up space for Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez in between. I also expect the return of the flea flicker in the and the Statue of Liberty play this year.
I bet you'll see a flea flicker.
Our defensive front seven looked good, although perhaps lacking in depth. However, the two rookies, Hightower and Jones, impressed greatly. Final Bill heard the call to upgrade the draft through the draft, and it paid off. Also, question marks remain in the secondary and O-line. I was overall very impressed. I look forward to seeing it with my own eyes in London this October. Keep up the great show. Your podcast has been required listening since I discovered it last October. You've got me through some tough times over the last year, and since I lost my wife to cancer in February.
Jeez.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, go Pats and Jets suck. Good. So.
See, this is where I usually say a joke or something.
I have something.
It doesn't really feel appropriate.
And I have one, and I don't feel, I don't feel it's appropriate. I'm sorry.
He'd want you to, because that's what's been getting
you through. That's Richard, right?
Yep.
Dick.
I was going to say go find Victoria. But
yeah, that's not really appropriate now.
Let's see. Nathan writes in Southern
California.
That's
awful. I mean, that's...
Kind of downright.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
After the first week, anybody scare you guys? Watching the Ravens and Flacco last night scared the hell out of me. I don't want to jump ahead, but they look legit. Also, I was hoping that the Jets started their implosion on week one, but they got a lot of confidence from that game. Hopefully that concussion on Revis is serious, right, Fred?
That's the email of the day right there. The Ravens are pretty good. You know what? Pump the brakes on the Ravens, too. I mean, put them in the category with everybody else. They played.
But
a good
I have
game.
To say, Flacco.
They played a good game last night, and their old defense looked pretty good last night. Although they did allow a couple of long drives in that game too.
I was just gonna say I don't think the defense as much as the Cincinnati Bengals offense, you know, was the factor there. I think that defense can be scored against the Baltimore defense.
Well, I think that they're a team that allows they allow you to move the ball a little bit, but they generally get pretty tough when they have to. I wouldn't necessarily call them bend but don't break, but they are tough to get in
the
end zone.
The Reed interception was an overthrow. The guy was wide open, you know?
Yeah, but why was it overthrow? Because they blitzed and hit him as he threw it.
He threw off his back foot.
Yeah.
And to turn it into six is pretty impressive, too. I mean, that's what he does and they do.
True.
And by the way, the game was over at that point.
Right.
John in South Carolina, hey, guys, and Nick the douche. Welker is obsolete after one game. That is horrible thinking. One game and suddenly the guy stinks. Well, what happens when they cover Aaron and Gronk? Gronk could be shut down if they commit people to it. I like the idea of Welker sitting out there with linebackers or the fourth or fifth defensive back covering him. Why do people want to get rid of that? If he is not getting the tar pounded out of him every game, maybe he can play another 4 years.
Well, don't say people. Yeah. One idiot.
One guy said he was obsolete.
One guy.
He's not the only guy, though. I mean, on this show he was. But
well, I personally don't think he's going to be back.
On the blog, there were people kind of on him, and I thought they were being really too critical of Wes Welker. It's not.
Well, you were there, Fred. You know, was he covered?
You know, I was going to say, I need to go back and see what, you know. Cause
here's where Paul takes a shot at you.
You saw.
I expect that out of Eric. Well, I expect you to actually see
You know the game. You've seen the game.
I wasn't following Wes Welker on every play. I'm
no,
sorry.
Well, no, but I mean, I figured, you know, like me and Andy do. You pick a play here or there. You pick a guy.
And then you
make it a widespread.
You extrapolate.
Every time I follow a guy on a play, that guy has nothing to do with that play.
Speaking of guys and plays, Vollmer.
Speaking of guys and play, we talk about
another,
football for
another
a
thing. By the way,
well,
that goes
we haven't
into
really
the,
talked about the offensive line.
Right,
that's still a concern for me. By the way, a lot of people sort of put that check mark. That's fixed. I'm not ready for that. I'm a little concerned still about that.
Well,
whole
I think
situation.
When they were passing, I think Brady still felt pressure. Vollmer, you know, played kind of half the game, and I don't think it was injury related. I just think he's not in shape yet.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, that was clearly the plan.
Right, but I did see Solder.
But Conley was injury related, and that worries me.
Yeah,
even though Bill said, you know, we had a chance late in the game to get some guys in when he was asked about Cannon at guard. No, you didn't. Your guard got hurt. That's why Cannon was playing guard.
And with a head injury, too, right? I mean, right. Like, you know, Revis might have to miss a game. Who knows?
Conflicting reports. I know Greg Bedard had something that it wasn't going to be serious, that he'd, like, passed tests. And then Borges
really
tweeted
now
that, you know, he didn't pass any concussion test. And when are people going to realize this is a big deal? It's not, you know, he didn't get his bell rung. The man got a concussion or whatever.
Well, you know, Borges is the boxing guy, and he tends
to get,
he goes a little bit, you know, I don't want to say he goes overboard on head injuries, because I don't think you can.
But I assume if Borges writes that he didn't pass the concussion test,
Borges is also assuming that the league is screwing players, because he's always on the player's side. So
that's true.
He's always comes
right
down
about
on that,
that
side.
Right. You know? No, I was saying
we're just
the
talking
facts
about Dan
of the
Conley,
case.
Yeah.
Dan Conley have a concussion? Did he fail his concussion test or pass his?
And if he had a concussion or some sort of head injury, whether he passed or failed the test, to me, that's, now you're talking degree of severity,
right,
which is important, but to me, it's still a very big concern moving forward, even if he passed it, because clearly there's something there. And he missed two games last year, right?
And now you are forced into either Donald Thomas plays guard or Marcus Cannon plays guard, and you can't do what you might want to do in terms of reps at right tackle with Vollmer. You continue to move your way down the depth chart.
I also want to say,
Brian Waters, anybody?
I also want to say, coming off a really, really bad summer, give Marcus Cannon some credit. You said that Vollmer played about half the game. Well, the other half was Cannon.
Right.
And he played pretty well.
Yep.
You didn't really notice him a whole lot. We knew he was out there, but we didn't notice him getting beat a whole lot.
Yep. Peter writes in, we are all humbled by not being able to predict what the Patriots coaching staff decides. What can we expect is the Bill and Josh I don't know what he's saying. What will they study film of each opponent, have a new game plan targeting weaknesses? Some weeks we'll have more running. Others, certain receivers will be emphasized. Let's welcome not knowing what the team will do each week. Okay.
You never know what the team's
I welcome that the other team doesn't know what they'll do each
week.
Yeah,
they're a game plan team. That's never changed.
Yeah, me not knowing is easy, because I don't know anything.
Was Welker covered? I wasn't really watching. What?
Me know. You know.
Jonathan in Florida, in regards to Brady's low throws, of which he had about three in a row at one point, including one where nearly 6'7 Gronk on the run had to get all the way down on the run.
Guy with a back injury makes him bent over.
More specifically than a mechanics issue, Brady shared that when his throws tend to go low beyond it being where he wants the ball to place the ball, it is because he is unsure about that particular throw, and the interviewer asked if it was a deceleration issue, which Brady agreed it was.
Oh, that's good. You can't even count on the monkey to accurately relay a quote.
Yeah, so. I don't really necessarily buy that.
Well, you
certainly
don't.
Not the one to Gronk. He threw it hard into the ground.
Yeah.
Well, but sometimes when you're unsure of a throw, it changes your motion a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, well, then now it's a mechanical issue.
Yeah.
Your release point.
No, it's
a head.
Did
you release it hot?
It's a head thing.
But, yeah, no, I don't necessarily agree with that. Deceleration would be the ball's slow, underthrown kind of ball. That he threw a bullet.
But, you know, haven't you ever, like, you know, whether it's baseball or football, you know, all of a sudden you're unsure and a ball stays in your hand a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's going to come out low.
But Andy's point is it wouldn't come out with a lot of velocity.
Right.
It would be low. You're right about that. It would be low. But I think the one at Gronk in particular was a fastball.
Yeah.
He just threw it low, in my opinion.
And he had the one to Lloyd shortly before that he threw at his feet. And then he had one the previous possession to Edelman on a quick screen that he threw low that Edelman couldn't go down and get.
Or may have gone down and gotten.
Yeah, it looked like it bounced.
Well, Tom Brady
bounced off his hand.
Tom Brady, you're wrong about what you think about your throws.
No. He's saying it's mechanical.
No, but Brady also said it was indecisiveness. That's what they asked him, and he agreed. According to the emailer, I don't know.
You're right, because none of the three of us heard the interview, and we're relying on the monkey who said that's what he said.
And the stupid fan, because you think all fans are stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm not like you. I don't say another thing when, you know. What? When the fans are there, I don't say another thing.
When have I ever said another thing? When fans are there, I go in the other direction.
Tom writes in, I'm a diehard Pats fan, but what we saw on Sunday was the same defense from last year.
Disagree.
We've always looked
that's
good.
That's not true.
We've always looked good against the run, and Belichick had 2 weeks to game plan versus the Titans.
First quarter, Denver.
Stopping the run was the major focus. However, I still saw big conversions on third down. Our corners were still getting burned down the field. With the exception of Chandler Jones, it's still the same crappy pass defense.
Wow. I think that's strong.
Who's that?
I think that's really
Tom
strong.
Tom Gaines.
You didn't think there was a difference?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not Tom, is it?
Tom who?
That's not Tom. For the first time ever, you guys covered camp better than I could.
Oh,
I don't know.
I wonder.
I don't know. So, I'm not sure.
I think that's a little bit unfair.
It's too early to tell.
Listen, I don't
All I know is I've seen crappy quarterbacks have a lot more success than Jake Locker did yesterday, and crappy teams put up more points than the Titans did. And I saw improvement. I saw guys closer to the ball. I saw guys flying to the football.
I agree with Andy on this.
I saw that was better. Tom's an idiot.
Now, listen, it wasn't as great as maybe the stats would make it appear. They only gave up 13 points. I don't think they played a defensive game that was indicative of only allowing 13 points. And they were fortunate to only allow 13 points. But what Andy said is, I think, 1,000% true. For the most part, the completions that were made, we were competitive. We weren't competitive a lot the last 2 years.
Against anyone.
On those third and tens, guys would just be running free over the middle, boop, and just flying off into the secondary, and there was no one around them. You know, we had a play like that one down the seam that we knocked away, the one that you talked about with Mayo.
Yes.
That's a completion, and then guy gets there late and maybe jumps on the pile, but no one's there to knock that away the last 2 years. I think that's a little unfair to say that wasn't any better. Was it great? No.
It's top 10 defense.
There's a long way to go in terms of pass defense. And I, by the way, I didn't think we had a whole lot of pressure in that game.
No.
Other than the big play.
No, I didn't think it was great. But I don't know how much of that was by design.
Might have been.
I don't know how much you wanted to pressure Jake.
That's
Walker.
Right. Exactly.
So
might have been.
I don't know. But the easiest basic way I can put it, Fred, is for the last couple of years, I did not want to see the defense on the field. Did not want to watch them. Right. Did not think anything good was going to come from them being on the field. I wanted to watch this defense. I saw reason to think, I want to see a guy make a play. I want to see what they can do of this defense.
And I don't think they blitz that much, right?
Well, that's where Andy's point was. Yeah. Maybe it was by design. Right. They didn't get after the quarterback a lot. You know, they had some pressure on the touchdown throw. That
they
Locker
sent Kyle
just
Arrington
made
on that one.
Right. Chandler
Locker
Jones
made an unbelievable play on
yeah.
that, on the touchdown. Yes, they sent.
Fred, on that play,
sent
I go,
Arrington.
Oh, Locker's got to get rid of that. Oh, he got rid of
it.
Literally,
that's
I thought
exactly
he was going down, and I was going to yell at him for not getting rid of the football.
He goes, oh, you got to get rid of the ball.
For a great touchdown.
And that was as pretty a throw as you'll see.
It really was. I mean, and that's the scouting report.
I like him. Yeah. I am.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was talking about with the Tennessee
Locker
thing.
They should
I think
be
they
happy.
Had some pieces. Their defense isn't that good. And I'll tell you what they need to do.
I only see one piece I'm really excited about.
All they want. Well, I think with Kenny Britton, I think Kendall Wright is
Kendall Wright. Okay, I think Kenny Britton. I'm not excited about because I can't.
Well, you can't rely on him. Yeah,
and I can't get impassioned about him because I know he's not going to be there when I need him, and he's a DB.
And I think that Raynaud
and Chris Johnson, I'm starting to think he could be on the downside. So
see what you just did there, though?
Now all I'm excited about is the quarterback.
The Kenny Britt thing turned me.
But
that's a great point.
Wright is a guy that I would be intrigued by.
But you need the stud.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the pitching staff without the number one guy. Yeah, it's great to have Clay Buchholz, but
Cook looked
not
all right.
If he's your number one.
Cook, I'm waiting
Cook is okay. He had a pretty good game.
No, I know, but he's in a guy with elite talent who's a good player. And how long do you get by with...
Well, but don't you think as
the
quarterback gets better,
yes,
it'll help him?
I do. And as the weapons around you get better.
And he missed some guys being a young guy making his first career start. I think that, you know, he could...
No, for him,
that's why
I'm
just
intrigued
excited
by the attitude. I like the tackle that ended up injuring him. I like his gamer mentality. I like the arm. I like the athleticism.
They need
the draw
to get...
that got called back.
Oh, yeah. And
I mean,
that was.
He's got a lot to like.
That was a tough break for them. And that was probably at a time when the game was already over. But that was a tough break because that had nothing to do with the play. It was probably a hold.
Oh, and by the way, yes, pass interference and holds, they are. And I would too if I were them. Judgment calls, I'm going to stay away from until I know I can get the real calls
notice,
right.
The vast majority of calls, and this is probably true all the time, even when the regulars are out there, but they're calling all the line stuff. It's false starts, delay of games, illegal shift, illegal formation, motions. They're getting all of that stuff.
Master the black and white before you get to the gray.
And it's making it look like, hey, these guys aren't doing it. Listen, there's a clear drop-off. And I've been very defensive of this whole thing, but they
So are injuries up 17% or anything like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I saw one of the most hellacious calls last night on a roughing the passer call. They just called it unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
So basically, you're telling me he hit him too hard.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was on Ladarius Webb.
A corner. So it's not even like this really big guy was mean to the little quarterback. It was a corner blitzing a quarterback with perfect technique right in the numbers with the helmet to the side. You couldn't teach it. That should be on next year's video of what a perfect backside blitzer is allowed to do, and it got flagged.
Yeah. One of the criticisms that I've heard of these guys that I would say is accurate is the whole thing about they've been swayed by the environment, the crowd, the situation of the game. And I thought the punt return by the Packers in that game, that they originally threw a flag for an illegal block in the back and then they picked it up. I thought that had something to do with sort of the crowd and how everybody, Randall Cobb took a punt back. I don't know if you saw this play, Andy. They were down 16. The Packers were dying. He returned a punt for a touchdown. Place is going crazy. They ended up picking up the flag. They said it wasn't an illegal block in the back. Now, when Fox showed the replay, the one they were focusing on, it clearly wasn't a block in the back. But evidently there was another one that was.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh went absolutely ballistic.
Oh, I actually saw that
play. And I think
he's
right to have gone ballistic.
Well, I do too, but those calls get blown every week.
But
though it's one of those calls that gets blown by the...
If you miss it, you miss it. They obviously threw a flag and saw something and then picked it up.
Yeah.
That, to me, is getting a little bit influenced by the situation.
But isn't that to be expected? I mean, when you go from Division III, where 42 people are watching, to a game where 68,000, you can't recreate experience.
Yeah, there's
they
no
can
doubt.
Only get the experience on the job.
But in terms of, like, all the other, the safety and all that stuff, come on.
What safety?
The player safety.
Oh.
You know, I don't see that. I mean, they were throwing flags for, was it because they had replacement refs at that safety? Who's the safety last night that hit the Ed Dixon with a headshot?
Right.
Was that because there was replacement
Bengals.
Refs out
right.
there? Or do you see that play once a week, every week?
Right.
Where some idiot just goes out and tries to knock a guy out.
It was just a terrible, terrible play.
And they called it.
Yep.
The guy
was all over. Steven Gostkowski's big hit on the long kick return?
Yeah, people are really talking about that. Yeah.
I mean, that's embarrassing if you're a returner with a full head of speed, running at basically a flat-footed kicker. He hits you, you get knocked on your can out of bounds, and he stands up.
And Patrick Chung came over and like headbutted
him. Yeah. He said this morning he was in beast mode. We got a kicker who was in beast mode.
I want to remind everyone that we're on our full in-season schedule, so John Rook and Patriots Playbook comes up after us at 2. And at 4 o'clock is Fantasy Football Champs. You want to get your fantasy fix in. Big week one. How did you do? What do you need to change up for next week? They'll have all the answers for you at 4 o'clock. So it's a big day on Patriots.com radio. Let's go back.
Nitpick Tuesday coming up.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. Pete's in Arizona. Hey, Pete.
Hey. I'm driving across the desert, and this is a pretty entertaining way to pass the time.
Oh, thank you.
My son and I were at the game Sunday, and I had two questions about it. One was about the long pass that didn't quite happen, which was right in front of us, and it looked like Brandon Lloyd kind of didn't trust that the ball was going to be there, and so slowed down and backpedaled. And I just wondered if that's the kind of thing you've seen him do before.
No.
I mean, working with Brady.
No. I don't know if he has a reputation of giving up on passes. Absolutely not. That was my impression, though. I agree with you, Pete. It looked like he just kind of lost the ball and kind of slowed down. But no, this guy, he can make big plays.
He was asked about that yesterday and said that we're on to Arizona now. He dismissed
it.
No, he wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah,
I didn't see it that way, and Andy didn't either. Pete, I thought the throw was it was over the top and behind him, and I think the slowdown was to sort of turn his body to adjust to the path of the ball, and he couldn't get there. That's why he ended up backpedaling. It's like an outfielder when you go back and you're looking over the wrong shoulder and you have to turn your body. It looks like you slow down, but
that's
not.
A misjudgment.
No, the throw was on the wrong side. Now, maybe he was supposed to be on the outside and went inside. I don't know. That's something that
only
they know.
What was his land? Was he running a post?
I thought he was running a post.
Because if he was running a post, it was a bad throw.
It was
because it took him off the post is the goal post, you know.
I think
it took him off his path.
Right.
Now, maybe his path was supposed to be to where the ball was.
Right.
That's valid. It might have been a bad route.
And it was also a duck.
By Brady. And
it was a wobbler
throw. It was a Peyton Manning throw.
What else
he got,
Pete?
Wobbly.
No, it wasn't complete.
Well, if he gets that kind of separation once or twice a game, that'll be a fun thing to see.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
The other thing I was going to ask is just about the secondary. I mean, we know the way the secondary has been playing, I mean, last year, and it looks like the beginning of this year, which is to leave some room, although they were tackling pretty well. But I was wondering if you think the secondary still looks soft, or if that's just the strategy they're going
to
use.
It's hard to tell after one game. I thought that down the middle was open at times.
I agree.
But I think that they did tackle really well. I mean, do you remember in the game saying, wow, you know, they're missing a lot of tackles like we have in the past? No. I think they were really tackling really well. You know, it's the NFL. I mean, if you have a decent quarterback, they're going to, you know, complete passes. You just can't cover every time. So, but for me, I the verdict's still out. It's just way too early to say whether they've improved or how much. It's hard to tell.
I agree.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the paper and for the show.
Okay, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Enjoy the desert.
Let's go to, speaking of the desert, Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
You buying lunch on Thursday?
Big win for you. Big win.
Yeah, I am swimming in money, and yeah, Thursday might work. And it's like, if you go 2-0, and by the way, Andy had a 2, on the @JeffVegas12 Twitter feed, you get crickets. But if you go 0-2, you get like, you know, 1,000 criticisms. Yeah.
That is absolutely
valid.
That's
the way the world
works.
That's
the way it goes.
Speaking of, I never gave you guys my picks.
Yeah, I know. I was going to bring it up off air, but. Yeah.
Just so you know, you went 0-16.
Yeah. You're 1-0.
Right.
That's what happens when there's over 200,000 organic listeners per episode.
Organic?
Anyhow.
It's true.
Yeah, that's one of those social media catchwords, incidentally. Organic means right. Like homegrown, not purchased in any way.
I got you.
Why would you do that? I get those things all the time. Why would I want to buy Twitter followers and Facebook likes?
If you have something you're selling, then that's why.
Yeah,
I'm just selling Andy.
Yeah, it's the perception.
No one's buying.
Like, if you even saw, like, Fred Kirsch has, what, like, 1,000 followers, if you ever saw that jump up to 100,000, people think that they're fooling people, but they have what's called the clout score, where all you guys are, like, 50, 60. That shows you're legit. Super quick, looking ahead, I just saw last night in New England minus 14. You know, I think they'll handle Arizona, but looking at the next week, I think Baltimore might give them a problem.
I think so, too.
Yeah, a little preview of 2 weeks from now, maybe fade the Patriots against the Ravens. But great win. Team looked good. And I don't know, tweet me back. If you know, I know you guys got Pettigrew all the time as far as lunch buyers. Probably don't even need lowly little Jeff and Bacon.
Oh, no. We need people on Thursday.
Thursday, we'll take you.
We need to give James a break.
We'll put you on hold. You can talk to Kevin.
Lock it in.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Will do. Large tuna, lettuce, pickles.
Yeah, it was a rarity, Freddie, on the pregame social. It was the everybody agreed the Patriots would cover, and the consensus was the under.
And we squeaked it.
Just squeaked out the under.
Wow.
Because it was, what, 47 and 48 and a half?
Yeah, and I mean, I was 27-17, so I went the under.
I would have bet the under.
You would have been right.
I said 23-13 is my score.
You were wrong.
So I got this side right.
I said 31-13.
Really?
Yeah. In some places, 28-13 in others.
all kinds of different scores.
I figure if I divvy it out, I'm going to be right somewhere, and everybody will think I'm a genius.
Craig's in Miami says, have you guys talked about Tavon Wilson? I think he looked very active, and he made that hit on Nate Washington, which I think was legal.
They didn't call a penalty, just so you know.
What hit did he have?
The hit that him and Mayo.
Wasn't there another one that they got on him? On Wilson, they called, flagged him?
Not that I'm aware. For an illegal hit?
Yeah.
I don't think Wilson had a penalty in the game.
Okay.
Dowling had a pass interference early in the game, but I don't think Wilson had a penalty.
Yep.
That was a good play. And the interception was an athletic play by him, although I think he was out of position.
Probably.
I don't think he wasn't in position to give deep help on that. If the throw was not so high... I think the Patriots might have been in trouble on that play, the deep ball. But I think he knocked him and Mayo, I think, combined to knock the ball away on the fumble play that Chung picked up, Andy. Mm. No? Will it say that in the book? I don't know if it will.
I don't know. I'm looking.
While you're looking, Dan says, very encouraged by the Patriots' performance. I was surprised to see Wilson get as much play as he did. I think it's safe to say the safeties are ahead of the corners, but the secondary as a whole is still a concern, especially when Hasselbeck completed 4-4 off the bench. What's up with Vollmer? When I heard Cannon was back at tackle, it was very concerning.
I think they're just, you know, getting Vollmer into football shape at this point. So they're kind of rotating those guys. I think once Vollmer gets fully healthy, that'll be his job.
Yeah, the fact that Vollmer went back in the game tells me that. I mean, that's what we thought originally anyway. But once he goes back in the game, I think you pretty much know that they were working some conditioning there.
And Jess says, I think it might be time to give Nick in San Diego a timeout for a few episodes. That was seriously tough to listen to. And then he wants to know about the Vollmer cannon situation. We just talked about that.
I'm not sure I agree with that the safeties are ahead of the corners. I think the safeties are ahead of the safeties from last year. That's what you're liking that you see.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought that Wilson may have been out of position on that deep ball that he ended up intercepting.
Oh, yeah.
I think Arrington was sort of by himself on that play, and the throw went really, really high.
They had a lot of time to get under it.
And it came, and by the time it came down, Arrington had time to recover because he was in trouble on that play.
Yeah, people said, you know, Arrington made a great play on the ball.
No, he didn't. It hit him in the face.
It was like a fly ball that he had time to get underneath.
And some people even criticized that it may have been pass interference. I think it was nitpicking.
He pushed off
a little bit. It was a decent play.
Well, it was funny because speaking of pass interference, they showed a play in the end zone where Hernandez was wide open and Brady didn't get it. But Hernandez pushed off before that play.
Was that the overthrow?
It might have been the overthrow.
When I thought they were going to recreate the catch.
Right.
Brady like rolled right. And I thought Hernandez was going to go up just like Dwight Clark and make
the catch. I bet you it was that
play. He pushed the guy down.
Because there was no one near him when the ball went over his head.
See, those are the plays that I think they're not going to call.
Yeah. And if you're a receiver, know that and test them.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean both ways. Yeah. I mean, look at all the pass interferences that
Devin
could have been called.
Running right through. Was that Washington? Who was that?
Yeah, that was a P.I.
I think it was Wright.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think it was Kendall Wright.
Chad writes in, what if the run made the D better? That might mean the D is no better than last year with the exception of an improved running attack. Maybe. That's why we need more, you know, evidence.
Wait a minute. They could make a D better by they don't have to be on the field as much. They can't really affect what they're actually doing when they're on the field.
That's true.
And I liked what I saw that they were doing when they were on the field.
Yeah, listen, I don't know how you can come out of this game not encouraged by the way they ran the ball and the way they played defense. All around. Not just run defense. All around. I thought defensively, I think everything Andy said is accurate. They're much more active, much closer to the ball. I think they were better. It was one game, but they were better.
I mean, they gave up 200 and whatever 80 yards. They only had it that low once last year. It was against the Jets. You're telling me none of those other teams they played were comparable to the Titans this year? They were better. They performed better against an average team. Now let's see if they can build on it against a below-average team next week.
Jonathan in Florida.
With a really bad offense, by the way.
Jonathan in Florida sends us a link to the Brady interview on EEI. He says, here's the link. You can fast forward to 1626 for the question about Brady's low throws and his response. Eric was the one who didn't have it completely right, and I was simply attempting to give you and other listeners more insight direct from Brady himself as to why throws are off.
Eric's not here.
Forgive me for trying to contribute some extra validity to the discussion.
Forget it. Don't ever listen again. Don't ever email in again. We don't want you. We don't need you. Go away.
Wow. Even I don't go on those kind of
things. I don't care for the tone of that email.
Dave writes in, I know it's one game, but we're in a great position when Wes Welker doesn't have a big day and the Patriots O does very well. I don't care who gets the ball. Just keep rolling. The more the ball is spread around, the harder the job will be of the opposing defensive coordinators. I thought Jones did well, but I noticed that he had at times wide and slow hand placement when engaging the old lineman on pass plays, which kept him from getting off the block. Overall, I love the performance of the team. It's Dave in North Park. I don't know which park.
Illinois?
North?
No, Colorado?
Oh.
I don't know. I just figured there's a South Park that might be in North
Carolina. Jeevan writes in, great game on every level Sunday. Quick question. Not sure if you covered it already since I listened to the podcast, but any news on Aaron Hernandez and his knee/ankle tweak?
No.
Nope.
And I'm guessing that we're not going to get much.
And I'm guessing he will be out there next
week. Does he show up on the injury report?
Yes.
I think he does too.
Full participation. Leg.
Craig writes in, I would take the balance and less points, a question we asked before, because it gives the defense more rest. As opposed to going to score quick and defense comes back at some point, you're going to score. I don't know what he's saying.
No, that's the argument that you would make is you won't need to score as many points because your defense will be better and more rested. to me, I'll take the points.
An arrested bad defense is still a bad defense, right?
Right.
They're just rested. They still stink.
Jacob from Denmark wants to know, will Welker get traded? I don't think so. People are just really... What are we doing here?
Nothing. Oh.
Paul's off the poverty line. Why are you waving me off? He said it once on the air, so people know if they listen
closely.
And
I was mad at him when he said it on the air.
What did they do?
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about it. Paul has secrets.
You have secrets, Paul?
Not if he tells them to you, though.
You're right.
The town crier over here.
Steven in UC Davis wants to know.
You like TJ.
How do you think?
I let him stay up one night. Mom, Dad let us watch a movie until 10 o'clock. And I get the look.
Your kids were up till 10?
Not in school
Good
nights.
Lord.
How do you think fans will react to Randy Moss coming back to Foxborough this year, and how will he handle it?
Cheer.
Would Harbaugh keep him on the bench to avoid him dogging it?
No.
They
will cheer. He will smile. It will be a love fest.
Now, he had a decent game.
Got a touchdown.
Yeah. Other than that? Just meh.
What do you have, like 4 catches, Paul?
Moss? I don't believe that's correct.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for
that's
this
it?
Edition of PFW
no.
Progress. Yeah, that's it.
No, 10 more minutes.
John Rook is standing by with the playbook. He's going to be on.
He wants to do a crossover. He's running into a crossover.
After a brilliant pinch hitting
it's a nitpick Tuesday. Yeah, did you have a good time?
The people's champion.
Yeah. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Yeah. Well, they can't hear me? Where can't hear you. Yeah.
There it is.
Now,
oh. Now it's on. It's green light on, red light off.
How long you worked in this business?
How long you been in this?
Too damn long.
Peanut butter and jam.
Great time doing the
Michael,
PPGS.
Michael, motorcycle.
Great time. Good time to be with the boys.
And they loved you.
Game and
they want
else
you back. Adam Jones out.
Nah, Adam's a good kid. But I would, you know, be happy to help out on, you know, road games. As,
sure.
You know, because you know I'm a little busy during home games.
Right,
so.
Right. The voice of the Patriots.
But road games, sure, anytime. Let
me
know.
Big announcements coming up this week. Wi-Fi in the stadium for everybody.
Sweet.
You know what your next announcement will be? Ladies and gentlemen, we would just like to know there's a temporary outage in the Wi-Fi. We are aware of the problem and are trying to
fix it. As long as I don't have to tell people to stop throwing snow.
Don't throw your cell phones either.
What an ass.
He really is.
He really is.
He's beyond reproach in that department.
God. Anyway, John's standing by with Playbook. What do you got, John?
Well, it is Nitpick Tuesday, Fred, so we're going to do our very, very best to find something
hits.
To nitpick outside of a 28-yard Zoltan Mesko punt.
Okay.
Outside of that, we're going to work real hard and going to play fill in the blank today.
All right.
Okay. Whoa, what's that?
I'm going to give you a statement. You're going to fill in the blank.
Go. Give me one.
I haven't come up with them yet.
Genius!
Andy Hart
that could have been a disaster.
Blank. Fill it in.
Genius.
Asshole.
Handsome young man. You can't say
all right.
That.
You can say ass.
He's the boss.
You can say hole. Stay tuned for John.
You can't put them together.
At 4 o'clock, Fantasy Football Champs. Don't forget.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.